is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We've got a new episode every week. This is episode 243, and this week we are going to look at fall TV. We're going to talk about how TV's changed, and if there's really even a place for scheduled shows anymore. We're going to talk about what new shows we're most looking forward to and why. We're going to talk about what's returning that we can't wait for, that we hope you guys might check out, as well as shows that might be served better if they just kick them to the curb. And also, our From the Outside In topic this week is going to, we're going to have a little fun with the Battle Royale that we've done in the past. We're going to do a TV pilot Battle Royale. That's right. What is the greatest TV pilot of all time? Be sure to get The Hole in the Go with your Apple or Android apps. You can also find us on iTunes, where reviews are appreciated, your podcast app of choice, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. And please share the show on your social media outlets, please. Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, whatever it is. We really do appreciate it. It does help the show. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
Hey, man. Long time no see.
I know. It actually has been a long time. Who are you?
Yeah. I am Scott Clark.
Okay.
Gaming extraordinaire.
Oh, my God. And joining us, Justin could not be here. He had some family issues this week. So we hope everything is going well with him. Fist bump, brother. But joining us this week, we've got two guests this week. First up, Mr. John Davenport. He's returning. He got a lot of favorable notice not too long ago. Mr. John Davenport, thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me, guys. I'm really happy to be here. And I guess if he's gaming extraordinaire, I will be Boobs on Drawings Esquire.
If that's a thing.
I like it. Is that like your advertisement slogan? Is that just going to be like at the bottom of everything you do?
Boobs on
Drawings. It is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you need boobs, I can draw them.
Well, we all need boobs.
As it turns out, John, that's I'm a fan. And also joining us this week is TV extraordinaire, because this is a TV episode we're doing. So we called in the best guy for TV because he has a spreadsheet for TV shows. I am not making this up. Mr. Troy Heinrichs, please tell everyone about your spreadsheet.
Yes, my spreadsheet has been going long and strong since 2004, and it's evolved over the years, but I was a little late this year getting it put together, so you can just call me Troy Theodore Logan, an earthquake survivor.
I don't know what the hell any of that means, man.
What well, do you need a spreadsheet for?
He said Esquire, so I've...
Yeah, and to Troy's benefit, he did go Bill and Ted on it.
Exactly. See? I got one fan.
There you go.
Air bump. Air bump.
Air bump. Oh, God. Tell everybody what your spreadsheet is. Explain this stupid spreadsheet. I mean, and Troy and I work together a lot on other podcasts, so he's not too super offended when I insult him. I hope.
Except on this podcast, he can use follower language, so I might get offended this time.
Yeah, well,
he's not Scott. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say it, but yeah, if you want to talk about bitches, I would go with Scott, sure.
Spreadsheet. Very simply, in May, the upfronts come out. Everybody tells us when the shows are going to be on for the networks. I make up the little spreadsheet that says, I'm going to watch this, I'm not going to watch that, and you should stay away from this, and I circle the big one that's going to be canceled first.
How do you circle on a spreadsheet?
I take an image and insert it over because I'm a professional Excel user. I don't use Excel in fourth grade, Scott.
Yeah, we do actually. You put a image over a cell.
Yeah. He's serious.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is what happens when you go to the next level, Scott. You're Good like down word. Here. Yeah,
you got to circle those numbers for those executives that can't look to the right bottom where it belongs in the total. You have to circle the total too.
What executives are in your house?
Well, for my Excel knowledge comes from my day job.
You crack me up. All right. Well, that's cool. Now everybody knows about your super geeky stuff that you do in private.
How about the super geeky stuff we do in public?
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. You just did a thing, and you do podcasts for Golden Spiral Media. You do Blacklist Exposed and Beyond Westworld and some other
stuff.
And
112263.
There you go. You do all kinds of stuff. But you just did a convention, which I think is pretty cool, and it relates directly to this podcast. So tell us about where you went and the cool people you actually talked to.
Yes, so we were at Geekonomicon. It's a new con group that's traveling around the country. They're going to do some things differently for this con, where they're going to have artists and actors, and TV the Band from Greg Grunberg's group is going to be playing at these cons across the country. I think the band from TV is going to be playing in St. Louis as their first appearance in a couple weeks. So the concept of the con, obviously, is geek stuff, so comic books, usuals, but a lot more intimate with the actors that are on site. And so we said, hey, Oklahoma City, that's where Golden Spiral Media was founded. We're going to come down. John Noble was slated to come to the con, and he was there. So as the Fringe podcast was our first podcast on Golden Spiral Media, we're like, we're going to meet John Noble this weekend. That was the mission. And so we decided to also marathon the podcasting over the course of the weekend to raise money for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. And we achieved our goal, over $2,500 raised. I think we ended up at like $2,800 or $2,900. So whoop, whoop. Thanks so much. We hit that on Saturday, actually. And then we had all of the fun start to happen. So we met, oh my gosh, Greg Grunberg was at our booth. John Noble was at our booth. Vincent M. Ward from The Walking Dead was at our booth. He played Oscar in season 3 in The Prison. Adrian Palicki from Friday Night Lights, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and John Wick was at the booth.
John,
who else is there?
Can you draw her boobs? Because I will.
I can.
Thank you. All right, continue.
Glenn Morshower, who played Aaron on 24, and Landry's dad on Friday Night Lights was at the booth.
He's awesome. He's
really cool. Let's see who else we had. Oh, Adrian Pazdar from Heroes and Colony, along with his co-host Amanda Righetti from Colony and also the OC fame. So yeah, it was a pretty star-studded weekend, and we accomplished the big three. We got Adrian, Greg, and John Noble all on a podcast, interviewed on video in our booth.
You feel like a man now?
And I survived an earthquake, the biggest one in Oklahoma State history.
What was it on the Richter scale?
5.6.
That didn't sound that bad. That sounds pretty light. It sounds more like a rumble.
Yeah, it's two points bigger than it normally is in Oklahoma. So it lasted 10 seconds. It was pretty freaking scary when you're sound asleep. I think a tank is coming through. I thought it was in Saving Private Ryan or something.
I don't think they give you capes for that. I mean, I think you got to hit it like a 7 or an 8 before you're really a hero. And it's like a very heroic story. Right now, it's more like somebody knocked me off the couch. That's really what it was about.
Yeah. Capes are good for hello.
Capes are good for 5s because then you can actually fly around during the quake. If it's a 7 or 8, you want a shell.
It's like the magic fingers in a hotel bed.
Right.
Wait, what?
That little magic fingers thing.
I thought my quarter ran out already.
Oh, yeah.
Those aren't fingers? What? Okay.
You really don't know what he's talking about?
I don't stay in those kinds of hotels. God, I actually stay in hotels with real beds and real maid service. Not his kind of maid service for people.
Says the guy who took me to a hotel that there was a condom wrapper on the hotel that we stayed in.
Okay, I didn't pick it. It just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Look, sometimes you only need a hotel room for an hour, okay?
Yeah, or 4 or 5 minutes. I mean, it really depends on your style. Well, that was a classy episode. We've talked about boobs and condom wrappers, and in between there, we've got John Noble and Greg Grunberg and Adrian Pilecki, which was very
Grun.
Nice.
He was very specific. Grun, not Grun, Grunberg.
Does he get bothered by that? Short.
He did, actually.
He doesn't have an umlaut over the U?
No, he does not.
Okay.
Wow. We just got umlaut on the Hollywood Outsider. I feel like Justin is here. All right, well, let's get into fall TV. Now, like I said, this is going to be a whole fall TV episode, everybody, but we're going to, you know, let's have as much fun with it as we can. I know fall TV isn't exciting for some people, but it's exciting for us because we don't go outside much. But before we get into our favorites, let's talk about how TV has changed over the last 10 years. We've now got more options than I think we've ever had, probably more channels than we've ever had. Is it getting to where it's too much or still not enough?
It's a good thing because we have the ability to tailor our choices to what we really want to watch now, as opposed to watching something just because we want to be part of the conversation at the water cooler, or we have nothing better to do. And it's really cool.
Or on a podcast.
Or on a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually strangely comforted by the idea that there's a show like Mr. Robot out there, which by every account of all the trusted voices that I base my show watching on, they all say it's a great show, and I haven't watched it yet. And I'm really happy about that in a weird way, just because I don't have to watch it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Troy's mad at you right now because he loves that show.
Yeah, I love the show, but I'm actually 3 episodes behind myself. So because this is really interesting, because when you think about it, there are 61 scripted shows that are premiering this fall alone. And it was 419 shows that aired in 2015, which is up from 216 shows in 2010.
Holy crap.
So,
seriously?
Yeah, on your spreadsheet?
Yeah. From gotta carry the one, Scott. Gotta carry the one. Yeah, 216 in 2010, up to 419 in 2015. And there are 61 this fall alone scripted shows that will be premiering. That's starting new, brand new shows, 61.
That's insane, man. That's
God insane. Almighty.
Every network has 5 or 6 shows now. I mean, networks I didn't even know were Crackle's got a bunch of shows. What the hell is Crackle? I don't know what that is. But
it's a web anime series, all the way.
It? Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, I know what it is, but it isn't one where I'm like, well, I got to go check out that new Crackle show. It's just everything has a TV show now. I don't get it. It's too much. I'm overloaded from all the stuff that people tell me I got to watch, but I ain't got time to watch it because I'm too busy trying to watch the 4,000 shows that there currently are that people have already told me are great. It's just there's not enough time.
Troy said that number boggles my mind because I feel more overwhelmed now than I ever have. For me personally, there's too much out there, even though like it's so much less than it was a couple years ago. But I mean, a lot of it is my personal fault because I just don't commit to TV shows as much as I do movies, just for sheer lack of time and committing to. I don't even have a DVR anymore, so if I do watch a show, I have to watch it live, and I can't do that as well. I feel like I'm always constantly playing catch up, even with old shows that people are always telling me that I have to watch. And this is coming from the guy that just rewatched Stranger Things for the second time. So I know I'm a complete hypocrite, but I I'm also like in that rut where, not in a rut, but I love to go back to shows that I know I love and watch them, like Stranger Things or Friends or things that I just know are like my comfort food. So like when I'm going to bed, I want to watch something that I know I'm going to like. I just go to those sometimes instead of going to pick something up new. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a personal thing. Like I said, my own fault. There's just so much out there. And when it comes to new shows, I feel like I have to take so much of a gamble as to whether or not I'm going to really like it or not. And I kind of wait around to see if it's going to work, especially because, you know, shows don't last more than a season sometimes. Everything gets canceled so quickly. So I kind of like to just sit around and wait.
Oh yeah, I barely watch anything new anymore. I mean, if it's not going into year two, I have a really hard time with actually listening or checking it out. Because I don't want to do that. I don't want to deal with, I just wasted, 13 hours or 22 hours on a show that's no longer here. And I'm never getting that time back. That's never coming back to me.
There was an effect that happened a couple of years ago. And it happened in my household right around the time that Lost ended. And Lost ended, and then Flash Forward started. And what happened was that all of a sudden, anything we tried to watch beyond that point, we just couldn't get into it. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't as involved, and it didn't excite us. And then Flash Forward came in, and it canceled after the first season. And I have a wife with a broken heart over that show. So now things have to be out a couple of seasons before we even invest the time in it, just because it's scary. You're absolutely right. You don't want to watch something that invest that time into something that may be gone after the first season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm starting to really like get mad at people for suggesting shows to me. I mean, I'm getting to the point where I want to punch people in the face. Or hey, you really got to watch this one show. No, I don't. Shut up. No, I don't. Stop talking to me because I don't have time. I will never have the time to catch up with all the shows everybody tells me are great. And the sad part is now when you get a TV show that, let's say it takes let's say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, that's a perfect example because I will never watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again. I don't care if you tell me it's the best show on television. It became the greatness of television. I'll never watch it because I gave it a full first season and that first season sucked. So I won't watch it again. Now, I know a lot of people that say second and third season are great. That's fine. But I'm not going to invest any more of my time because I've got too many other shows that I know are good from the get-go that I would rather invest my time with. Now, 10 years ago, I would probably go back to it and revisit it and be like, all right, I'll give it another shot. Now there's just too much. I just don't want to waste my life anymore.
You know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a perfect example of a show that pisses me off today. And the reason why is because I'm coming from the side of I love that show. I think it's great for exactly the same reasons you mentioned. Season 2 and season 3, it got so much better. But I shouldn't have to say or apologize for the show after the first season. Look, I'm really sorry. The first season's terrible. Or I'm really sorry. The pilot's bad. But get beyond that and you're going to be okay. I shouldn't have to do that. But I do because I decided to stick with it. But shows that make me do that make me upset.
Well, especially because you can't just like skip right to season 2 or 3. You have to go watch the lead up. You know, it's not like something where you can just like pick up in the second season and know what's going on. You have to know the character development in that first season, even if it is terrible.
And then if you have the reverse side of the problem, which is you get to season 2 and you say, oh, they got a season 2. You should go back and watch season 1. And then it turns out to be Under the Dome or Wayward Pines.
Hey, I liked Wayward Pines season one. Everybody crashed that
show. Season two sucks.
I don't know. I didn't watch it. I was happy with the ending. I didn't need more of that. That's one of those where I'm like, it ended good. I'm happy. I don't need any more. You should have followed
me. Based on your point, though, Aaron, you said that if I would have come up to you and said, hey, you need to watch Wayward Pines season one, you would be like, no, I'm not going to give it any amount of time. But if it came up to you and said, hey, it's got a second season, then you would have watched it, and then you would have been like hating me because I made you watch season two.
This is true.
So it's a lose-lose.
But you, like every show you watch, you tell me I have to watch. So, I mean,
that's because I'm right.
You need to be very picky is what you need to do. You have far more time for television than I ever. You have a spreadsheet. I don't have a spreadsheet. I got an hour. Better watch that show. I'll check it out real quick.
40 minutes on the bike in the morning. You get through a lot of TV.
I'm not exercising that much. All right. Going back to our topic, more and more cable and streaming is really taking away the must-see slots. And I'm kind of curious, and we've kind of talked about this every year, but have the networks, as we know them, run their course? Is there really a need for the big four anymore?
For me, personally, they've definitely run their course. I mean, you guys know from previous episodes that I cut cable a long time ago. And the only reason that I actually have cable right now is because I got an offer from my provider that said I could get double the internet speed. But in order to get the double the internet speed for like $8 extra a month, I had to have cable.
Oh,
there's
gotcha.
No way to not get cable.
They got you.
They got me. And sucker. But even outside of that, the only reason that I would have cable at this point is to watch football, which has nothing to do with Fall TV in this case. I mean, we're talking about like story shows, that kind of thing. Football doesn't really fall into that, but that is literally the only thing that I look forward to watching in the fall. Even when I have it, there's nothing that interests me enough to watch regularly, to go week to week and have this show that I'm going to dedicate myself to. I'm at the point now where I prefer to watch shows that are convenient to watch more than what you refer to as must-see, according to like news articles and everything like that. Oh, you have to see this. No, I can wait to see it and binge it when I want to, as opposed to like waiting it and seeing it every week. Now, there's exceptions to every rule, like Walking Dead. As much as I have issues with that show, I'll probably still watch that just to keep up with the conversations, like John alluded to earlier. But there's nothing, even shows like Big Bang Theory, which I love. I don't have to see that on the spot. It's not like gripping me to have to go see it. I'll just watch it when it's convenient for me. Convenience is key.
Except that when you're watching those certain shows, like you mentioned, like Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, things of that nature, because you have to like literally stay off the internet for days if you're not right. caught up. You know, that's really the key is what part of the community do you want to be in to be part of the in crowd, I guess, from a TV perspective? And what part of it is like, you know, I'm okay not being part of that community because I just want to watch it when I want to watch it, which is exactly how I felt about Blindspot last season. Blindspot was one where I wanted to watch it. It wasn't that great at the beginning, but it got better. And I just felt like I didn't need to see it right away, even though everybody else was watching it. So I removed myself from the community.
I feel like those shows are few and far between, though. With as many shows as there are out there, you got your big ones that you mentioned. I mean, how many of the littler shows are getting spoiled? And by little, I don't mean that to sound demeaning at all. Just like lesser known, not as widely known as like a Game of Thrones or Walking Dead.
Like the
EW freaking spoiled The Blacklist the very next morning for anybody that didn't see it live.
Yeah, jerks. That's true. That really sucked. That really sucked for a lot of people. EW does it with every major show now. But I think what Scott's talking about is the smaller shows. He's saying if it's like a lesser show, it's not going to get spoiled. But I don't know how many of those are there anymore. I mean, everything, it seems like it gets pressed because they're so desperate for media attention. Coverage and attention. I mean, they're doing everything they can to have fresh new articles on everything. And I think everything pretty much gets pressed at this point. Any surprise?
450 plus shows this year when it's all said and done.
I don't even understand that. That's way too many. All right, Schedule Master, let's talk schedules. Do we even need them anymore? I mean, do we need three shows every Tuesday night, three shows every Wednesday night, so on and so forth? I mean, how many shows do you actually still watch when they air?
I guess it all depends on how you look at the model, because when you talk about network television, there's the affiliates, and it's the local affiliates that actually benefit from having the network give them programming in order to fill their slots, especially if the affiliate themselves is owned by the major network, like WMAQ in Chicago, Channel 5. And that's really where the networks actually help the local affiliates more. I think if the networks were to say, you know what, we're just a network, we're just a cable station like AMC, USA, TNT, Sci-Fi, etc., then they would actually probably perform better and have less rigor from a censorship perspective because they could just do what they want. You know, they create their own app. People can watch the shows on the app whenever they want to watch them, and everybody's happy. So, no, I don't think we need schedules. I just need to know, I want to watch Blindspot right now. I don't care which season it is. I just want to watch it right now, whichever season I want. And I think that was really key in this year's, when they signed all the pilots and stuff for the season, was this concept that was called in-season stacking. So now you might remember in the past seasons where you had like Hulu and Netflix and some of those other places, or even in your own cable providers on demand, you were only able to watch the last five episodes. And if you were too far behind, you basically had to wait till it came out on Netflix in September to catch up on the season. Now they're saying, no. In-season stacking, we want the rights to show every episode of the entire season on these streaming services and within their own apps. So I think that's going to be the key for this season to see if that actually makes the jump for the networks to go, you know what, we don't need to air this stuff on the channels. We can just air it with the streaming services and we'll call it a day.
I couldn't agree more. To me, it's all about the convenience when it comes to watching shows. I personally am not going to let my life revolve around a TV schedule. I'm not going to be home on a Wednesday night to watch a show or a Friday night or whenever things air. I'm not going to live that way. I mentioned earlier, but that's why I like movies, because I can see it any time during the weekend and feel like I'm caught up. You know what I mean?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was going to completely agree with you. That's exactly why we cut the cord, was because we cut the cord because my wife promised me an Xbox One. And then I started seeing the benefit of the idea of, I don't have to watch TV when TV tells me to watch it anymore, which is good for me because it gives me more time to draw stuff.
There you go.
There you go. More boobs.
More boobs.
You also realize the benefit of the PlayStation 4 with the PlayStation View network over the Xbox One. So then you can watch TV and play video games on the same box.
I'm sorry. I just passed out there for a second. What just happened?
I don't know what you said. What happened? How did we get to PS4?
The PS4 has a great television service. It's actually one of the best non-cable TV services in the PlayStation View platform.
I just fell asleep for a second.
Hey, what happened? Do you own a PS4?
I do not.
Oh.
Scott says he wouldn't have time for a TV schedule, but I bet you if it was like a gaming schedule, I bet you'd find the time. Huh? You'd be a slave to that master.
You know what, Scott? I have to apologize because I'm the one who opened this game door for you.
And I'm getting blamed for it.
And you're getting the blame for it. So I'm just going to – I have to apologize, man. That's all my fault. My bad, bro. My bad.
No, even with gaming, though, the only like schedule that I've ever set to, even with gaming, is like I used to game with a certain friend Friday nights. Even that has fallen by the wayside. I'm not I like to play games and watch movies and watch TV shows when it's convenient for me. I don't stick to a rigorous schedule. I also have the luxury of working with a bunch of coworkers that don't watch the newer TV shows regularly. I guess teachers don't like TV shows as much as we do. So I don't have the need to keep up with those quote unquote water cooler moments like a lot of people do. Mm. Although I think the water cooler moments are more on Facebook and social media than actually at the water cooler anymore, you know, at work. So yeah, I don't have to worry about getting spoiled for me or having those issues at work. I just got to stay away from the internet.
I don't watch. There's literally two shows I watch when they air. That's Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. Well, Blacklist and it'll soon be Westworld. So I guess there's four total over the entire year that I watch when they actually air. Everything else is either DVR or I Hulu it or I catch it on Netflix later on, way later on. So I don't even know what the network schedule is. You know, Troy's got his schedule. I have no idea when, except for this episode, because I had to prepare, you know, find out when the shows I was looking forward to started. I don't know when they're going to come on or what time they're going to be on or any of that stuff, because I don't care. I'm going to watch it on demand. I don't even see the point of a schedule. Just tell me what day it's going to drop, and that's when I'll watch it. That's what they should do with everything now.
You know, it's kind of like cable companies shot themselves in the foot when they started coming up with DVRs, because DVRs was the gateway drug to things like Hulu and HBO Go and however else you take in media. Because I personally, whenever I want to watch TV, I'll either watch it on Hulu or buy the episode off of Microsoft Video and watch it on my Xbox. And that's it. I mean, but I only got to that point because, one, I got an Xbox out of it, and two, because I was already used to living life that way, because that's how I DVR'd everything.
Yeah, but even DVR now, like, even they've made it where you can't fast forward through commercials or whatever, so like it kind of defeats the purpose outside of like watching it when it's convenient for you.
Oh my God, that would have made me so mad if that was happening while I still had a DVR.
Commercials
infuriate me.
Hulu introduced that commercial free model where you pay like $4 more and you get no commercials. I love it.
CBS Now has it too.
Well, it's one thing to have to watch commercials on a regular TV rotation, but when you're watching a show on Hulu and they play the same commercial between every break to the point that you've got it memorized by the time you've finished like two or three episodes, that is super annoying.
That is super annoying. But I will say I'm now Pavlov's dog. So when a show, even if I'm really into it, as soon as a commercial hits, if it's DVR or whatever, I'm like, I'm done. All right, I'm done. I have no interest. I'm done. You just lost me.
Well, that's what the great thing, like TiVo last year. TiVo came out with their Bolt product, and they actually backpedaled it to the Romeo product. They had a button where after the show was done recording, then you could just push a button on the TiVo remote, and it skipped the commercial break altogether.
What?
Ooh, that's gorgeous.
That's sexy.
And
I got so mad at Hulu for ruining Ant-Man for me, because when Ant-Man was coming out, every other commercial on Hulu when I was still paying for commercials was an Ant-Man commercial, and I couldn't avoid it.
Because it was the same commercial in every break.
Oh, absolutely.
That's your fault, so really. Annoying. You should have paid the $4.
Yeah. The other feature that TiVo came out with last year was this is for me personally, because I know Aaron's going to be like, why do I want to watch it so fast? But they came out with Quick Mode, which was you could literally watch it at 1.3x. So watching things like Survivor or Amazing Race, where it's just not a lot of action, you could literally watch now your 44-minute program because you got rid of the commercials in like 35 minutes because of the Quick Mode, which I thought was even better. So you can get through 450 shows.
I think it's funny how you talk fast, and then you have to watch TV fast, and you listen to your podcast fast. I mean, slow down, man. Enjoy. Get back in the slow lane. Come on, enjoy life a little bit. Take your time. Hey,
can Justin hook him up with a little bit of something special?
This is how you get 44 hours worth of work done in 34 hours, so you have 10 hours extra.
Hang on.
You should, like, try running marathons or something, man. Like, for real.
His heart wouldn't take it.
I get those done super fast, too. Then I have to run two marathons.
You like those little Hot Wheels cars. You just pull that little strip out.
Not Netflix marathons. Actual running with shoes on.
Okay. I'm so glad you clarified there.
You might be an addict.
You know when you're an addict is when you wake up at 5:30 in the morning, and on the iPhone they now have this thing where it tells you like what apps you use the most frequent, and the one you use the most frequent is in the bottom left hand corner, and when that's a black N sitting down there in the bottom left hand corner, that's when you know you're an addict, because the first thing you do in the morning is watch Netflix.
Wow. Why is your N black, racist? Why isn't mine red?
The N is still red. It's just the black background is still black.
Oh, right. Okay. Cool. All right. I'm like, what did you change that for, Whitey? What's that about? While you're looking over your schedule, spreadsheet, whatever, what shows are you shocked to still see on the air? And honestly, just need to die.
You know, for me, that's Survivor, and shows like it's like Survivor. I don't know why we still live in a world where we like watching people be a-holes to one another. I get it. Reality television's here. It's here to stay. It's not going to go anywhere. But I like spending more time watching things that make me feel better. Sci-Fi's Face Off is a good example. And then PBS's Great British Bake Off. Two great examples of competition shows. But the cool thing is that these people, they're not sniping at one another. They're not sabotaging one another. They actually help one another, and they're just nice, good television. And I just really want something better. I want something more consistent that's better. And I'm just really tired of seeing people be coached into being a-holes to one another. That's just me, though.
I don't need to be coached. I can be an a-hole for nothing.
True story.
And the best part about Survivor is this year they're going to go ageist on us. Yes, millennials versus Gen X. That'll be interesting.
Ageist? What do you mean? They're going to have like old people versus like young people?
Dude, who are you calling old? You're a Gen Xer.
No, I'm not. I am 27 years old in dog years.
You know, in Aaron's defense, when you said millennials versus Gen X, for some reason I superimpose baby boomers versus Gen X.
Oh man, that's so mean.
That's kind of what I heard. What about you, Scott? What do you think needs to die?
I got a few. I mean, a couple of them are repeats from previous years that we've done this, but the one that's new to me is, who is still watching Hell's Kitchen?
No doubt.
How are people still entertained by that dude just yelling and swearing at people for not being able to cook right? I just don't understand. Like, why? I can't.
Well, I think John literally just said he enjoys watching a Bake Off show, so I guess he would be one of them.
Do you watch Hell's Kitchen, John?
I used to watch Hell's Kitchen. I actually backed off of the Hell's Kitchen, but I used to really love it. And my favorite thing from Hell's Kitchen now is the memes you see on the internet from it.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Those things are gorgeous.
And I wonder if those are actual lines from the show, because I don't watch it. But are the actual lines in the show or just people being clever?
Those are people being clever. He's good. Although the I'm an idiot sandwich one, I think that's directly from the show. But
there was a video of that. Like the girl is saying, I'm an idiot sandwich, and he's hitting her with a piece of bread. I'm like, oh my God, dude.
I have to admit, I mean, there's something that, even though he's a giant a-hole, I can't stop but watch that guy. He makes me smile, and I don't know why. There's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Any other ones?
And my other two are ones, again, repeats, but who is still watching The Simpsons? Why is that show still on the air?
Eight people watch it. I don't know who they are, but they're eight very powerful people, and I think they are all in charge of Fox. I can't see no other reason to watch that.
That and Two Broke Girls. Every time I see a trailer for that or a commercial for that, I'm like, why are people watching that? It does not look funny.
Kat Dennings. That's the only reason I've ever turned on. Yeah. Kat Dennings. Yeah.
Is that it? I mean, just all you need is a super attractive person to.
Yeah,
to,
it like, helps.
Watch it.
It helps.
That does help.
Mm-hmm. I'll never watch that show, but I might have it on with the mute button on while I'm doing something.
I don't even do that.
I'm thinking about the people that I work with, which none of them are my friends, but. Like, I think about the conversations they all have with each other, and these are the kind of people who, and they're all in their late 40s, mid 50s, in that range, and because I'm the youngest one that works there, but they constantly talk about things like Two Broke Girls and Big Bang Theory and a couple other shows that I have never even considered watching. And I think it's just, I think though it's easy for us to sit back and say, who's watching this show? We're clearly forgetting about a generation that still watches whatever is on TV.
That's unfortunately, I think I came into that generation this year because I really was excited to watch Dark Matter and Killjoys on Sci-Fi this past, what was that, summer and a half ago, April? I don't even remember when it came out. It was so long ago. But the big thing there was I found it so overcomplicated, and yet all my friends are like, oh, it's the greatest show ever, and it just got season threes and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, I found it complicated, and I just want to watch Big Bang Theory.
Oh, because
you
of the
also
simplicity.
Watch a lot of thinker TV, though. I think you might have watched that when you got to a point where, all right, I'm full. The brain is actually full. Just make me feel stupid for a little bit.
That's exactly how I felt.
You know, why do people knock that? I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Big Bang Theory. I do think it's probably run its course. It hasn't been on like 47 years. I mean, Sheldon is literally a 65-year-old man, and the show's still on. But people still love it. I don't understand why people get so mad that that's still on the. I mean, if it's not for you, then this is the time for you to say it, and I'd like it canceled. But isn't it okay to have some light, dumb fun every now and again? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
There aren't bad shows; they're just shows that aren't for you.
Oh boy,
I'm rewatching Psych right now just because I want to get it out of the way before October 1st, and because it's light, it's dumb, it's fun.
It's also one of the smartest comedies ever to grace the television screens. I'm just saying.
Breach it.
You know that's right.
Okay. Come on, son.
Come on, son. Oh, man. I'm rewatching it, too. We're watching like an episode every night. True story. Every night we're watching Psych. That is
the... here. It's what I go to bed with.
Yep. And you know what, people? If you never watch it, it'll make you feel good instantly. It'll make you feel good.
Absolutely.
I was just going to reiterate what you're saying. At least watch the first season. I will admit I enjoyed the first season a ton. I just didn't love it as much as Aaron to keep going for more seasons past that, but it is a clever and well done show.
And Scotty's fired.
Yep. Bye, Scott. We'll miss you. But I mean, well, he gave us a year. I mean, I'll take it.
Lasseter still thinks he's a scumbag.
It ends wonderfully. It's got a great ending too. Anyway.
Oh, that ending was tearjerker.
Oh, I almost cried. I almost cried. I did.
Almost had a feeling. Just one.
I did. I shook and it went away. Two shows I want gone. NCIS Everywhere. I don't know where they're at anymore. I don't care. I just don't care about those shows. And Criminal Minds. Look, I mean, you had a guy beating the ass out of a writer. I don't really know why this show's still on the air, other than CBS really needs the money. I don't know what the problem is. And when did Chicago? Look, I live right by Chicago. Troy lives in Chicago. Chicago's never been interesting enough to have like 8 television shows named after it. It just isn't.
It certainly doesn't. It doesn't have any hope. So I don't know how that show got on the air.
Exactly.
Dick Wolf, man. It's the power of Dick Wolf. He was like, well, I can't do Law and Order anymore. That's played out. Let me go do a whole bunch of Chicago stuff.
Yeah, and I'll just name it after different departments. Municipality department. We're going to have Chicago Fire or Chicago Water and Chicago Parks and Rec. And Chicago. I mean, that's really
wait,
what
that's
it is.
Been done.
And better.
Yeah, and way better. Way better. Okay, is there anything left? I'm sorry, did I miss anyone? Did everybody get to weigh in?
I didn't get my 2.
Oh, what's yours? How many? Oh, however many you got.
Well, mine are anything on CBS except for Survivor and Amazing Race.
So my 2 are the entire network.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Wait, Big Bang Theory's on CBS.
Yeah, pretty much anything on CBS can go. Just destroy the network. But again, it goes to what John was saying. There's a whole demographic out there that likes CBS. So that's exactly where that demographic belongs. The 2 big ones that come to mind are, and this is funny because I heard Justin say this too, but Grey's Anatomy and Supernatural are the 2 shows that have just been on forever. Mm-hmm. And yet in the last seasons of both of those shows, probably one of their stronger seasons yet. So maybe there's a reason why they're still on the air.
Maybe. Man, Grey's Anatomy doesn't have that beautiful mane of hair anymore. And if that's not going to be there, if they don't have Patrick Dempsey, I don't want to watch it.
Wait a minute. I thought Grace was done.
No, season 13, man.
Good Lord. I thought I remember seeing like a finale of that like a long time ago.
If they've ended it like 5 times.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Can I be real with you guys for a second?
No, be all fake.
All right.
Be a Kardashian if you could.
Speaking of CBS and shows that need to go away, can I tell you that there's a show that I absolutely love and there's no good reason for me to love it, and that's Blue Bloods? Well, there's one good reason. It's actually Tom Selleck's mustache. But
yeah, that's a great reason.
I'll watch that, and it just makes me feel all warm and cozy and comfortable, and I don't know why.
Because it's the only thing that's good on Friday nights.
Oh, man. Hawaii Five-0. I'm sorry, but I watch Hawaii Five-0 like on Netflix when it comes on there, the new episodes, and I love it every time. Every time.
On Netflix? You like Hawaii Five-0 on Netflix?
Yeah.
The investment on Netflix isn't nearly as high as on TV.
That's true. Maybe if they could just pick up every TV show ever, then I'll just watch Netflix all the time. I'll pay $20 a month. I don't care. Exactly. No, you're right, John. I actually watch Blue Bloods. I've only seen like 3 episodes. I'm not going to act like I watch it a lot. But it's actually an interesting show. I don't know why, but it's interesting.
It's, you know, what I love, well, besides Tom Selleck's mustache, it's the feeling of family they really like hang their hat on. And there aren't a lot of shows that actually focus on the idea of family the way they do. And that, you know, every episode, there's several scenes with them sitting around a table with kids and 3 generations of this family just eating together. And there's just something that's kind of like Thanksgiving dinner about it for me is what it really is.
It was called Parenthood on NBC. 6 nope. Seasons. You can get it on Netflix.
Nope.
Everything's on Netflix. Except Fringe, because that's leaving Sunday, and Psych is leaving October 1st. Yeah, I'm trying to binge like a season and a half in a matter of hours. I don't know if I can.
I'm so glad I binged that like earlier in the summer. Oh man, that had me almost in tears just rewatching.
I'm not there yet.
No spoilers.
All right, now let's talk about new TV shows. We're going to talk about the shows that we're most excited about. You guys, go ahead. We're going to go in an order. When you have your name's read, basically just name your show, what it's about, when it's going to premiere, and then we'll discuss it when you rattle off your 3. So, John, why don't you take the first trio?
My first trio, Lethal Weapon. I'll give that at least 3 episodes. It follows the story, or actually reimagines the story of what we saw in the movie. So it gives us the character of Martin Riggs and Murtaugh, and it's based on so everything in the first episode, as far as what I hear, is just like the first movie. Sun is, and that actually premieres September 21st. Son of Zorn, also on Fox, September 11th. It looks like a bag of cats crazy. Live action and cartoon. And an animated barbarian comes back to live with his family and raise his son. And then, of course, Luke Cage. I don't think I need to give too much information behind that one. That comes on Netflix on September 30th.
No, I mean, some people don't know what Luke Cage is. So,
okay. Luke Cage. Luke Cage is given super strength and durability by a sabotaged experiment. A wrongly accused man escapes prison and becomes a superhero for hire. That's based off a Marvel property.
It's a Jessica Jones character, right?
Yeah. It's and played by the same characters, same actors. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. Michael Coulter or something. No, tell me more about
Mike Coulter.
Mike Coulter. Tell me more about the Son of Zorn. I've never heard of this. Never.
It's so they take a character and it's an animated character. He looks like He-Man. He looks like crazy He-Man, voiced by Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah,
That right there, you got me.
And it's a fish out of water kind of comedy. It's a half hour long show. It just looks crazy. It kind of hits my animation love, and it also hits my love for just stupid, crazy things that make no sense. It feels like, if I were to describe it to anything that's on TV right now, from the commercials, it feels a lot like Archer as far as how it looks. So I would say it's probably like a cleaner Archer, although in one of the trailers for the show, you see him murder a giant bird. And then they chop it up and throw it in a trash can, and you see it out in front of this house in the trash can. So it looks pretty crazy.
The chicken and Family Guy, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Do you really think Lethal Weapon has a shot at being good? Because I'm a huge fan of the original movies, and I know there's a lot of people that never even saw them, where that was when Mel Gibson was actually liked a lot, and he played that crazy cop, and he teams up with the black cop, and they're basically yin and yang, but they're great partners, et cetera, and he's off the rails. The guy that they've got playing Riggs in the show looks good, but Damon Wayans is Murtaugh, and I have a real issue with Damon Wayans taking him seriously in anything. That's my biggest problem or concern with that show.
Well, after the Scary Movies, right?
No, he wasn't in those. That wasn't Damon Wayans.
It was his brother. His brother.
He was in there too.
No, he wasn't. I don't think so. That was Marlon and Keenan.
Marlon Keenan and the other one. What was Skippy?
Skippy Wayans?
Yeah.
Skippy Wayans.
He's the unknown one.
Woman gave birth to 8 comedians. They're going to run away with names.
Her vagina is hilarious.
I'm still skeptical about it. The guy who's playing Riggs, I liked him in the things that he was good in. He has been bad in a couple of different things, and they were really cheap, stupid TV shows. But when I saw him in Perfect Host, mm-hmm. He showed me that he has a range and he has an ability, and I think in this role he will be able to do his own spin on the Riggs character. Damon Wayans, if you remember Bulletproof, he wasn't goofy in Bulletproof. He was more serious. Because the goofy character in Bulletproof was Adam Sandler.
Disney World. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Disneyland.
So I think he could do it, and there was a Happy Endings. He played his son's father in Happy Endings for an episode or two, and he was very serious in that show. So I think Damon Wayans can do it. The early buzz out of California from 2 weeks ago was that the first episode was actually very watchable. So if it can do anything like the movies, which I love the movies, the movies was like growing up, the movies, that movie with, let's see, what was the order? It was Lethal Weapon. It was Die Hard. And then anything that had Steven Seagal in it, we would rotate those with my dad because those are the only ones he'd love to watch. And it was, I have a love for those. So I think he can do it. I'll at least give it 3 episodes is how excited I am about it.
You said the order, and I'm just sitting here going, well, it was Lethal Weapon 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's
what I thought he was going with, too. I was like, are you ranking the Lethal Weapon movies? Fly, Lice, Flick.
I was talking about the rotation of which series we were talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes more sense. Okay. So yeah. those are his three. And Troy, what are your three new shows you're most excited about?
Well, I'm super excited from the creator and executive producer, Dan Fogelman, who brought us Gallivant. Yes, which is coming to stage and Netflix. We're going to get This Is Us with Mandy Moore, Milo Ventimiglia, and Sterling K. Brown from The People vs. O.J. Simpson, if you don't recognize the name. Hmm. They basically have a bunch of people who have the same birthday, and they're connected somehow, but it's going to be more in the Parenthood style. So it's got this genre feel, but yet family drama, which I think is going to be really great. It'll be Tuesday nights at, I believe it's 9 Eastern, 8 Central, starting on September 20th. What was really great about this particular show, and this is just an interesting fact, was that it was the highest rated screen tested pilot of the 2016 season, and the trailer was viewed over 80 million times in just 11 days after the release at the upfronts in May.
Wow.
50 million of those were on Facebook, people. Facebook, not YouTube, Facebook.
Hmm.
And that was faster than the new Ghostbusters trailer, and it was faster than one Star Wars The Force Awakens, which had 70 million on YouTube and 13.5 million on Facebook. So when you bring in the NBC trailers and the YouTube trailers, This Is Us actually beat The Force Awakens in 11 days for trailers viewed. I thought that was quite interesting.
You might be getting ahead of yourself on selling that one there, Chief. I mean, better than Star Wars. There's a few people who are like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Back to Kirk. Star Wars. I just said that the trailer was viewed more times than the Star Wars trailer.
Yeah, well, Two Girls in One Cup was viewed more times than both of them combined. So,
bam. Whoa.
In theory, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, so
half
that's
of them
on.
Were Aaron.
So you know, you'll notice a pattern here.
Refresh.
Watch it again.
Yeah, so you notice a pattern here. NBC for that one.
Uh-huh.
Second one is Timeless from executive producer Eric Kripke from Revolution Days. Basically, this also comes from the producers of The Blacklist at Sony Davis Television. It's going to be a time travel thriller where they basically have to chase a bad guy who has a time machine, tries to ruin American history, and they have to go use the prototype time machine, which, of course, isn't going to cause any problems whatsoever because it's a beta unit, and they're going to go chase the bad guy and prevent the entire history from being rewritten. So that'll be
interesting. A beta unit? Is this Last Starfighter?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, my God.
The interesting thing about this show, though, is Abigail Spencer is Lucy Preston. She's the lead, along with Goran Visnjic, who is going to be the villain. And that's a female and an African-American. And that was actually chosen by choice because Kripke said that so much of the history as we know it is a history of rich white dudes. And yet there's so much untold history from a minority perspective and a female perspective. So they're actually looking to kind of tell the history stories that we've all come to know and love in a very fresh and different way through these experiences as they travel through time. So it'll be on Monday nights beginning October 3rd at 10, 9 Central on NBC.
So I guess they got the diversity memo, huh?
It sure did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually interested to see what they do with that, you know, because you go back into we actually talked about this on the 11-22-63 podcast, that they had this diversity racial issues going on because it goes back to 1960, and how interesting it would have been if they would have went back and tried to stop the Martin Luther King Jr. shooting in like the second season or something. Unfortunately, it was only a one season miniseries like it should have been from a Stephen King property, unlike that other show.
Okay. What's your third one? Yeah, you said it. You've got a very bitter palate for Under the Dome. I got it. What's your third one? The better of all three of these.
Third one, of course, is the most crazy situation possible. Whenever you have the State of the Union address, one lone person stays behind as the quote unquote designated survivor. And in this case, it's the cabinet member of Housing and Urban Development, one Tom Kirkman, played by Kiefer Sutherland. What?
Mm-hmm.
And when something bad happens at the State of the Union address, guess what? He becomes the president. So all those years protecting the president over in CTU on 24, he finally now is the big guy, but unfortunately will probably not do such a good job. And what I thought was really interesting about this is that Cal Penn, yes, one Kumar himself, will be Tom's speechwriter, who has doubts in his superior's authorities. And what's interesting about that is that Cal Penn actually was a real associate director for the Office of Public Engagement in the Obama administration.
Yes, he was. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be, a consultant on the series itself. So that one's going to be Wednesday night, September 21st, on ABC, which will also air simultaneously on CTV in Canada.
You know what's the coolest thing about that trailer when you watch it is that they gave Jack Bauer a pair of glasses just so he doesn't look badass when he...
Exactly right.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, he's a nerd, so it's okay. I mean, he's not Jack Bauer. He's not going to torture anybody in this episode yet.
I just love how they come up with this whole concept of, you know, hey, there is this real thing called the designated survivor in case something happens. And sure enough, something happens, and that's a TV show.
I, of those three, I mean, it sounds like the trailer for This Is Us got a lot of views, so I'll check the trailer out just because now you sold me on the trailer. But designated survivor, it's got Jack Bauer, man. I'm in for that one.
Timeless looks the most interesting out of those three to me. If it wasn't already snagged up, I would have been one of my choices. That's that just looks like a great trip to go on. And
well, time travel is just so much fun in general. So
yeah, that one looks like I want to be told a good story and taken on a good trip, and that one looks like it's going to be able to pull that off.
And Sean Ryan from The Shield is also working with Eric Kripke, so it'll hopefully balance Eric Kripke out a little bit since we know how Revolution fared.
Is Timeless the one? I mean, is that the actress from Suits? She was Harvey's girlfriend on Suits.
Have you not seen Suits? I don't know, but I can look it up.
No, I think it is. I think it is. I think I already know the answer to my own question. Let's go to Scott. What about you?
Well, I'm actually surprised that you didn't pick the one that I chose here, Aaron, because I know you love the movie from 2000, mm-hmm. and they've made a TV version of Frequency, and they've kind of flipped it a little bit in that the story from Frequency is now told from the perspective of a female police detective who, much like the movie, is able to speak via a ham radio with her father, and who died back in 96, and the two must work together across time to kind of change the history of events and also get a chance to heal their complicated relationship. I love that movie so much, and I've always thought that story I wanted more of, and I think a TV series works really well for that, because like you can kind of have like not monster of the week kind of things, but you can have like things that they can solve each week, and also have the camaraderie between the two of them and building up their relationship and fixing things. So I really like that. That comes out on the CW on October 5th. It'll be playing at 9 o'clock in the evening. That's Eastern Standard Time.
If it's got no Dennis Quaid, I'm a big fan of No Quaidsy, No Wazy. So it's that's why.
I have
How
a
long
good
did
authority.
It take you to think of that one?
Just a minute.
No Quaidsy, No Wazy.
Yep.
How long have you been waiting to use that?
Since you started talking on Frequency, roughly. Yeah.
So really, you have no interest?
Man, seriously, Dennis. I love that movie, and it's one of those things where I'm afraid if I watch it, it would like just ruin my memory. It'll ruin my childhood, and I don't want that. So
like Ghostbusters did.
Yeah, well, I liked Ghostbusters, so it didn't do anything. I will wait for it to air, and I'll hear what you have to say. If you recommend it, if you think it's a good show, I will check it out. But it better be a good show, because they're dancing on the Quaids. Memory here, and I'm very, very specific. And we don't count Jaws 3 as a problem with that memory. I'm fine with Jaws 3. This could ruin it. You know what I'm saying? So let's be careful.
Jaws 3 won't ruin your memory,
exactly.
But a show that you've never seen potentially could.
Exactly.
Dragonheart.
I like Dragonheart. It had Sean Connery. As long as you've got Sean Connery.
Dragonheart was a fun movie. Anyway,
yeah.
My second show is called Pure Genius. This one comes out on CBS on October 27th, and it'll be playing at 10 o'clock p.m., which is weird. Again, that's Eastern Standard Time. This one intrigued me because it reminded me a little bit of House, but with more technology infused in it. There's basically a young Silicon Valley tech titan who enlists Dermot Mulroney, yes, that guy, as to come in and work at this like hospital where he's using all this cutting edge technology to take in a new approach to medicine. Apparently you learn that Dermot Mulroney's character has a controversial past, and it just looks really interesting and fun. It looks like a fun way to take like a fun twist on the House formula, mm-hmm. House MD, which was a lot of fun. I think it looks kind of cool. Looks like it had some really interesting drama. I think it looks interesting. Did you guys have any interest?
I think it's going to be really super smart, and it'll be on the CW next year because of that.
Oh.
I'm bummed.
Oh, is it too soon for Supergirl fans? I'm sorry.
No, too soon. That
hurts.
Almost hurts, although I'm happy of it being on CW, but too soon.
I'm really bummed, dude, because when I saw this, I thought it was real genius, and I thought Val Kilmer was coming back, And
ice is nice.
Yeah, it's not. It's not that. So
this maybe is
not.
There's
so
nobody named
the
Laszlo.
Made the mistake.
Nope. Thank you. See? Stop touching yourself, Kent.
That's a really funny scene. And my last one is a comedy on NBC called The Good Place. This previews on September 19th at 10 o'clock Eastern, but the official air date isn't until September 22nd at 8:30 Eastern. This one stars Kristen Bell, which I love. After seeing Bad Moms this summer, I just want to see more of her. But it's also got Ted Danson, who I feel like I haven't seen in anything in forever. And he looks genuinely funny in this. It's a woman that, from what I gather from the trailer, has died and gone to heaven, which is why they call it The Good Place. And apparently she's struggling with what she it means to be a good person.
Yeah, she wasn't supposed to go to heaven. Something got messed up.
Right. And it just looks really funny. Like, I think someone mentioned earlier, like a fish out of water kind of thing. She's completely a fish out of water in heaven, especially when she tries to swear. And you can't swear in heaven, so everything she says is replaced by some other, like, clean word. It just made me laugh. And Kristen Bell is just so charming and cute. I just want to check it out and see what it's all about.
Oh, man. That's the Kristen Bell show?
Mm-hmm. I want to watch that show just because I want to see how many times she tries to swear without swearing and how funny that is.
Yep, or if it gets old.
Exactly.
Man, Kristen Bell, okay, I'm in. Out of your three, that's my favorite right there.
I was looking at Pure Genius when it came out. The trailer looked really, really great. I just don't want it to be Scorpion, where it was like, oh, this is fun, and then it's kind of like, So I just hope it isn't like that. Kind of like Limitless. Limitless was good, too, and then it was like, So, yeah. Pure Genius will be that, at least a couple.
For me, it's going to be Frequency, just because out of those three, that's the one that I would probably give three episodes to. You know, I love the story.
Rich number, apparently.
It is, as far as like whether or not I'm going to get into a show that I haven't heard anything about yet, with the exception of like trailers or critic reviews, I will give something at least three episodes before I decide to get into it or not. And usually that gets out everything in my mind, at least. It gets out everything that they filmed for those trailers.
See, I was with you, John, where it was three, but then I changed it to four after Lost. Because if you didn't make it to episode four, you missed Walkabout. And that was a pivotal episode to make you a Lost fan for life.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, I mean, and just so you know, Troy, fair enough means to hell with whatever your logic was. So
I think he's been listening to the show long enough to know that.
I think so. Okay. That's a good pick. Those are nine so far. Now I got my three. My first one is Agent Carter stars in a TV show called Conviction. Agent Carter's Haley Atwell, if you didn't know that, because nobody watched Agent Carter, apparently.
I was like, Agent Carter's not on your list. What the hell are you talking about?
The show's Conviction. She plays a brilliant young attorney who was also the daughter of a former U.S. president who was blackmailed. I'm really curious how that's going to work. To head up New York City's new Conviction Integrity Unit. She and her team investigate cases where people have been wrongly or may have been wrongly convicted. It also stars Iceman and Beth from The Walking Dead. So Sean Ashmore and Beth from The Walking Dead. I think that is officially her name.
Emily Kinney.
Yeah, Beth from The Walking Dead. So that's number one. Anybody interested in this one?
I get confused because I don't know which Ashmore is on screen.
Oh, what are they? Ashmore?
Oh.
Oh, they're twins, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they are twins.
John just went, ugh. He just ugged you.
Conviction interests me a bit because of Haley Atwell and Emily Kinney. But it's another one I'd give about three episodes to, primarily because from what I saw in the trailers, it has that opportunity to be really good. But it also has that air of network, cardboardy vanilla-ness to it. That, like, we're going to try to be really bad, but we're going to be really good at it, though, and be really sweet. It kind of has that air to it. And I like the subject matter, which is deals with the reversing convictions. So I do like the subject matters.
I'm just,
three episodes.
Haley Atwell, man. Haley Atwell will get me to watch anything. She just, and not just because she's an attractive woman. She is very talented. She's one of the most natural actresses, I think, that is working today, to where every time I see her, I feel like I know her. I feel like she is a person that is very relatable. And I don't think there's many actresses like that. So I will definitely follow her wherever she goes.
And Adrian Palicki didn't get you to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so...
She's not as good.
No, she's not as good.
She's not as good.
I'd throw my wife down a set of stairs for Haley Atwell's attention, so...
Wow.
But I'm pretty sure my wife would throw me down instead of Sarah's for her attention, too. So it's fair.
I'd throw you both down. So, yeah.
I get saw it. A threesome.
All right.
Oh, that's too far.
That's too far. All right. Westworld's number two. Westworld is the new HBO show, which, oh, I'm sorry, Conviction ABC October 3rd. ABC October 3rd. Westworld, October 2nd on HBO. That's when they're going to shock us, according to Entertainment Weekly, is what we heard today. They're going to shock us. That's what showrunners Jonathan Nolan and his wife Lisa claim. They're going to reinvent the 1973 Michael Crichton classic as a series revolving around a theme park where any of your wildest dreams can come true. Gunfights, prostitutes, consciousness having androids bent on the destruction of humans, whatever your dreams are, they can come true. And they're going to stuff like that. It stars Anthony Hopkins, Ed Harris, James Marsden, Jimmy Simpson, who I love. Please, I hope more people find out who that dude is because he's freaking hilarious. And Evan Rachel Wood. I like this idea so much, Troy and I are actually doing a podcast on it. BeyondWestworldPodcast.com. Go there. Check it out.
Yep, and I was shocked today. Shocked. So, what? Yes, I'm excited for the series.
Why were you super shocked? Is it okay to talk about that? I don't know what the rules are on that. If a show hasn't aired, do you guys want to not know, or you don't? Do you want to know stuff? Do you not want to know stuff? What are the rules? John? Scott?
I kind of want to go in blind just because that actually would have been on my list if it hadn't been taken already. So I mean, obviously HBO being behind it has a lot to do with it, but just the cast and just the mixed bag of different things going on just make that show so intriguing. I kind of like the idea of going in fresh and knowing very little about it.
First of all, it sounds like somebody got screeners today and did not really share with the rest of the class.
I did.
It's exactly what happened.
No. You're still a guest, John. You're not like an official member. So until that happens.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. No, Entertainment Weekly had a bunch of pictures, and one of the pictures kind of explain one of the mysteries that we talked about on Beyond Westworld, if you go listen. But there's a big mystery to one of the characters, and it's solved in that picture, and it wouldn't have been solved if you didn't look at it.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, I'm really excited for the show, so I don't want to know much about it, but I was just being a bit of a smartass about the whole people got screeners today.
Hey, I've been here since episode one, and I didn't get one, so don't feel bad.
Look what you're doing to Scott, guys. Yeah. Scott is alone in his own little world without screeners. I am fighting for his benefit now.
He'd probably forget he had it because he's too busy gaming. He'd be like, man, probably. I'm playing this game. Yes, he's like, probably.
I tried, Scott. I tried.
He did.
He's playing, I appreciate it, man.
Lone Gunman with his Nintendo Zapper.
October 2nd. That's a look for that. There. Yeah, that's an outdated reference. MacGyver is my last one. MacGyver comes on September 23rd on the Grandpa Network. That's CBS.
You said MacGyver.
That's right. MacGyver. it's a reimagining of the classic series following Angus MacGyver, who creates the Department of External Services, DXS, a clandestine organization within the U.S. government where he uses his extraordinary talent for unconventional problem solving and vast scientific knowledge to save lives with paperclips. Joining his team on high-risk missions around the globe, we are Maverick CIA agent Jack Dalton. What a frickin' CIA name that is, Jack Dalton. Patricia Thornton is going to be an ex-field agent turned director of operations. Riley Davis is an unpredictable computer hacker with a chip on her shoulder, as they always do. And under the DES, MacGyver takes on the responsibility of saving the world, armed to the teeth with resourcefulness and a little more than bubblegum and a paperclip at his disposal. Stars Lucas Till as MacGyver without a mullet. So I don't know if that's against the rules, but it should be if you're going to reimagine MacGyver.
See, the power is in his mullet. His resourcefulness lies in his mullet.
He kept things in that mullet. That's where the paperclips were. That's where the bubblegum was. He had twine at one point, I think. Explosives. I don't know. George Eads is also in this show and a bunch of other people nobody knows yet. Why'd I pick this one? It was growing up, one of my best friend's favorite TV shows. My best friend Dennis's favorite TV show. And he watched it all the time. And this is a guy that doesn't watch much TV. He just loved that show. And so I watched way more of it than I ever intended. I saw the original trailer. I know they reworked the pilot because they weren't happy with the pilot. I did hear Richard Dean Anderson is supposed to cameo. I don't know if they're going to do that when this. I don't know if that's part of the reworked pilot they did or what, but
you kind of have to, don't you?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't at first. And I think people were really mad about it.
What about the theme song?
Yeah, they got to have that. it's updated, maybe with rap lyrics or something.
No,
no. A little techno beat.
No.
He's MacGyver. That's what I want to have happen.
MacGyver has the biggest chance of breaking my heart.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about the mullet. You know, there was Samson, and then there was MacGyver when it came to awesome hair.
That's quite a stretch of time there, man. Samson and MacGyver. Well,
I dare you to find a connection. But
that's funny.
You have to have, you know, there's so many things. You have to have the mullet. You have to, you know.
One of the things. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon with Samson and MacGyver. Samson was on this episode.
You good, Scott?
I think you lost him. I think you lost him.
Hold on, I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit for that one.
There you go.
All right. So yeah, the thing that I loved the most about MacGyver was that it even though it was a cool actiony show, it didn't bother dumbing itself down. It kind of promoted the idea of being smart, and I really liked that. And from what I can tell from the trailers, that feeling isn't there. It's more rock and roll than it is, or it's overly like MTV rock and roll than it is, you know, here's a guy being cool and being smart and doing things that are crazy with a slingshot made out of a tampon, a rubber band, and a paperclip.
Wait, what? I don't remember that one, but I'll check it out now.
I'm sure it happened. Like, he had to have the tampon up his nose for a nosebleed or something. I don't know.
I'm sure he did. You're right. You're right, though. You're absolutely right. If you rewatch the show, I know it's, you know, people reflect on it very cheesily now, but if you actually go back and watch the episodes, he was a very smart guy. He was never doing it tongue in cheek. It wasn't a cheeky show. It was a very smart guy, mm-hmm. using real things to make whatever he needed to make. And the trailer does look like it's going for a more younger, hipper, smarmy kind of feel. And
that's why Scorpion already exists, right?
Oh, you really got a problem with Scorpion, don't you?
That's a raw nerve right there.
Yeah, boy.
I'm just saying, we're still talking about MacGyver. The show never should have been redone. It should have been left alone. They tried MacGruber. They tried the movie. It's like, no, I'm done. I like MacGyver the way he was. Richard Dean Anderson is Richard Dean Anderson. Nobody else can be Richard Dean Anderson.
In the trailer, he seems like he's trying a little hard to be cool.
Exactly.
I feel like MacGyver was never trying to be cool. He just was cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. There was there was a moment in the trailer where they showed him jumping on the back or on a wheel of a plane or something. And I seem to starkly remember that MacGyver was afraid of heights. And any chance they had to highlight that, they would show that in the show, that he was afraid of heights. He would always hesitate a little bit when it came to it. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm too much inside baseball with it. But that was just a nice little character quirk where he was flawed in that respect.
Okay, well, maybe they'll bring it back. Maybe that's why Richard Dean Anderson is coming back, and also because they desperately need the approval of the original MacGyver to make this thing work. Justin wanted me to mention The Exorcist, which airs on Fox September 23rd. It's a TV show based on William Blatty's 1971 novel about a priest who performs exorcisms on demonic spirits. Basically, I guess, what, an exorcism a week or something? Is that what we're going to do? Maybe he can.
I heard it was a little bit different. I heard it wasn't so much that kind of vein demonic wise. It was something a little bit different. So I think it might actually play off well. When we see it.
Can we get a crossover with Lucifer? Because that would be cool.
It would be.
It's on Fox.
That'd be really great. Just saying.
Just saying. She shows up in his nightclub or something like that. He's like, "What's up, Lou?" All right. Returning TV. It'd be cooler if more people watch that show. Returning TV, we're going to talk about the shows we're looking forward to that are coming back. Now, I do want to preface, keep in mind, we might mention some plot lines from some previous seasons to shows discussed. So if you're the panicky type, skip ahead or somebody might get spoiled. I don't want anybody to get spoiled. So there you go. Troy, you're going to talk about Blacklist, which just hit Netflix, and try to do this. John, I know you're watching season 3 now, so you might want to unplug your earbuds for about a minute.
How many?
Maybe 2 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, Troy's talking. Maybe 3. Go ahead, Troy.
Ready? 3, 2, 1. All right. So, and the Blacklist. Tom Keene was captured. Baby Agnes is nowhere to be found. Kaplan's fate lies in Red's hands. And Constantine Rostova, a.k.a. Alexander Kirk, said to Liz, "I'm your daddy." The series had an emotional ride in season three with Liz and Red on the run from the Cabal, only to find out that her exoneration and the death of the senator and the Aurea bombing actually had far greater consequences once Masha Rostova's name was leaked to the world. New enemies began closing in, and we pick up right where we left off in Cuba when Esteban premieres September 22nd at its new time, 10, 9 Central, Thursday nights on NBC.
Well done. Well done. And you can hear Troy and I podcast about it at theblacklistexposed.com.
Shameless plug.
Why are you so, other than the fact that you're required by podcast law to watch it, why are you so pumped for the new season?
Super excited for the show to return because in season four, we're getting answers. I've been told that we're getting answers in season four.
Allegedly.
So, and I think that the Liz character has actually grown a lot in season three, and I'm really excited to see where the Liz character goes in season four and how she's going to deal with this new information that she has in front of her.
Okay. And what are the other two that you're looking forward to?
The other two are Blind Spot. The team is in all kinds of bad places at the end of the season. Weller learned interesting news from his father as he died. Their leader Mayfair is dead, leaving clues in her wake. Jane is a horrible fight with her ex-fiance. Jane remembers who is behind the whole thing, a person named Shepard, who will be the focus in season two. With the USB decrypted and Patterson aware of Orion in daylight, we also see M7G677, another clue for season two. With Weller knowing the truth about Taylor Shaw, things don't look so good for Jane, so make sure you check it out when Blindspot moves to Wednesdays beginning September 14th at 10, 9 Central on NBC.
Man, check out Troy. He's just recapping the shows, man. He's just throwing it down. All right, what's number three? Because I don't give a rat's ass about Blindspot.
That's right. No, number three is Secrets and Lies. Yes, last season followed the story of Ben, who was framed for killing his own son, only to find out that his young daughter, Abby, was the one that killed him, since he was the source of all their family's problems in the first place. Yes, that's right. The kid was actually from an affair. Ben protects Abby. Yep. Ben protects Abby by testifying, dies in jail, and now Abby's older sister, Natalie, is on a mission to clear her father's name. But none of that matters because anthology show. That's right. The only person coming back in season two is Detective Cornell's Juliette Lewis. We'll be back in an all-new mystery this fall when Secrets and Lies returns. Taking on the concept will be Cornell chasing after a killer, Amanda Warner. She falls out of a window, and the lead suspect is her husband, Eric Warner, played by Michael E. I can never say his name. Ely. Ely?
Michael Ely. Yeah.
Michael Ely. It's also going to star Jordana Brewster, hello, and Terry O'Quinn. Will Cornell finally get the bad guy this time? It'll be airing Sunday, September 25th. At 9, 8 Central on ABC.
Whoa, I was really debating returning to that one because I really liked that show the first season, but I really liked how it wrapped up. But Terry O'Quinn's in it?
Terry O'Quinn will be in season two. Hello. And Jordana Brewster. Hello.
Yeah, Jordana, but whatever. Terry O'Quinn, I'm there. I'll check it out.
Yep. Ooh, I'm excited.
Did the rest, Aaron and Scott, did you guys set up yours that way?
No.
Nope.
Okay, so we have to follow him now?
Nope. Yeah, well, I mean,
I have to follow him.
Yeah, he has to follow him. He'll be forgotten by the time
you're
going to
reset for the rest of us. Then, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
That's what I do.
I did not set up anything like Troy just did, and I feel very inadequate.
Yeah, Scott, if you could half-ass this right now, that'd be great.
I will do my best. I just got two quick ones, and they're both comedies. The first is The Goldbergs. It comes back on September 21st on ABC at 8 Eastern. If you haven't seen this series, seriously go check it out. It is one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. It's this family called the Goldbergs in Pennsylvania in the 1980s, and it's key that it takes place in the 1980s because everything is an 80s reference. Whether it's just nothing but pop culture references through the whole thing, and this family is completely I'm not going to say dysfunctional, but just a weird, quirky 80s family that is perfectly hilarious. And my favorite aspect of the show is that at the end of every episode, the guy that runs the show or that makes the show, it's based on him. The main character in the show is a kid. It's based on him when he was a kid. And at the end of every show, they actually show a home video that he had taken when he was a kid of a scene that you saw in the show. So something you see in the show, you actually see where he got the idea from, the inspiration from, in a home video. And it's so funny, and it's like one of the best things I've ever seen, like in the closing credits of a comedy show. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see more. It's freaking outstanding. It's so funny. Can't wait to see more of it. And the other, no surprise, is Big Bang Theory. I know that people are tired of it. This is like a comfort food TV show for me. It's something I just love to have on in the background. It makes me laugh. I love the nerd references. I'm not offended by it by any means. I'm not overdone by it. I love this show. I love the characters. And it's getting a little thin, but I still can't not watch it. So that one is on October 27th on CBS at 8 o'clock Eastern.
You know what? Even though, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, there's always shows that we don't like or we get tired of, whatever. But I hate the fact that you feel bad about liking Big Bang Theory. I mean, it's literally one of the most popular shows on television. I just don't understand why you need to. And also Big Bang Theory. And you're looking both ways, looking for the bully to kick your ass.
They're the Nickelback of primetime TV.
Which is a fair statement. But all right, now I'm kind of with them. I kind of get where they're coming from now.
You know, I really like the idea that Aaron just tried to make you feel better about it, but then you reminded him why he's wrong. Yeah.
This guy's like, I want to be the victim. Shut up, bitch.
I'm used to it by now. I feel bad if I don't get victimized on the show. So,
all right.
Story of your life.
My most exciting returns, other than The Blacklist, because I'm required by podcast law, Scream Queens. That was my favorite show last year. Favorite show of last year. I freaking loved the first season of Scream Queens. I know it doesn't make sense. It's probably not even good. I don't know. I love that show. It's so cheesy. I love it. Last year, it centered around a university where a serial killer ran loose, where at the very end, they figured out who it was. I'm not going to do the whole Troy thing where I tell you everything that happened, but, you know, if you watched it, you know. But the girls that were responsible basically are locked up in a mental hospital, the way I understand it. The Chanels are locked up, and they're coming back, and this season is going to be based in that mental hospital. Emma Roberts and Jamie Lee Curtis, and most of the original cast are coming back for season 2 on Fox, September 20th. I love this show. If you want to know why, it is funny when it shouldn't be. It is scary when it has no reason to be. And it has its own specific tone, which no other show on TV has this tone, in my opinion, or has come close to nailing it. I just love it. I just think it's a great horror comedy, and it's a lot of fun.
You said most everybody's coming back. So who's not coming back?
I think the main girl from Grace from last year, I don't think she's coming back.
Aww.
I don't think Oliver Hudson is coming back. And I don't know if there's anybody else. Those are the only two specific, the big ones that I saw. So Grace and her dad from last season.
So new story, like an anthology, but not new characters.
No, I think the Chanels are still the focus. So it's still the same characters, just different environment. I kind of would have liked an anthology where you had the same people playing different, kind of like an American Horror Story kind of thing. But they didn't go that route. Whatever. Number 2, Lucifer, September 19th on Fox. I don't know if you guys watched the first season of Lucifer, but I freaking grew to love this show. Tom Ellis is Lucifer Morningstar. He's the devil, and he's holed up in a posh nightclub. He basically wants to leave being a devil and go run a nightclub, because who wouldn't? You know, there's chicks and drugs and stuff. And it's called Lux, and he ends up helping an L.A. detective played by Laura German, who... Basically, he's helping her solve crimes, and he doesn't know why. But the more he does it, the more he finds himself in touch with his own humanity and comes a little bit closer to losing his horns forever. And as the show went on last season, you saw that more and more. And he ended up being framed for murder and briefly actually paid a little speed visit to hell. And now he's back on Earth. And I'm really curious what they're going to do with him. That is one of those shows where it sounds like a procedural that shouldn't work, but it does. And it completely 100% works because of Tom Ellis as Lucifer. He is freaking phenomenal as that character. And if he were the real devil, I would join him. I would join him today. And I would go and do all the devilish things that he wants me to do. Not that I haven't already done them. But am I the only one that's watched the show?
I saw it. It was called Angel.
No, it's better than Angel. I think it's better than Angel. The first season was, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of dead air. That's too bad. All right.
It's a Fox show. They aired it out of order. I haven't seen the fifth episode yet.
Oh.
Shots, you know, fired.
Tom Ellis is somebody who makes me really want to watch that show. I just haven't had the time to, going back to way the beginning of this whole recording session, I haven't had the time to devote to it. Because Tom Ellis was really great in it's an ITV show called Miranda, starring Miranda Hart. He played kind of her love interest. And he was really charming and fun on that. So I'm sure he's pretty great in Lucifer, and I've been wanting to watch it. But, you know, time being what it is.
It's so good. And the guy can do it every once because he's a devil. That's just what the devil should do. Lastly, The Walking Dead. AMC, October 23rd. At the end of last season, we finally met Negan. They talked about him, I think, for the entire season. And then we finally met him in the last episode. And then we watched as he brutally murdered. I have no idea. I still don't know. I have no freaking idea. Because I couldn't spoil this for you if I wanted to, because Walking Dead decided to piss everybody off and not tell you. They built up to it. They were getting you jazzed for it. You know somebody died. We don't know who. So it's the cliffhanger. It better deliver. The premiere better deliver. And it better be the most stellar premiere ever. It better be huge. It better be a huge premiere. Because if it's not the best premiere I've ever seen, I'm not sticking around for season 8. This is your last chance. That finale pissed me off so much. Everything about the show kind of hinges on that premiere for me.
Then why is this like in your top three of like favorite ones?
Because
you want to come back?
Because I gotta watch it now. I'm like, it's like crack. I gotta see what happens. I gotta see who it is, and I gotta see if they can deliver on the promise they made that the premiere is gonna be phenomenal.
Until they pull a Mr. Robot season 2 on you and not give you the answer to the finale until the very end of the season. That would piss you off.
You know what the scuttlebutt is as far as how they've handled that so far? Want to hear what the scuttlebutt is?
I heard they filmed like every character's death just to.
Yes.
So you don't know who it is.
Right. I actually follow some of the makeup artists on that show. And that I've seen some of the pictures of each of the characters kind of walking away from that. So.
That's interesting. It could be great. It could be great. It's just how they handled it, I thought, was a real insult to fans. They can paint any picture they want with any brush they want. I thought it was a horrible insult to fans. And it really puts me on the edge of my, will I jump, will I stay? Will I jump, will I stay? So I got to see it. I got to watch it to find out.
That is one show that I'm going to watch at least the season premiere just because I have to know. And I know that if I don't watch it, there's no way it's not going to be spoiled for me on Facebook or any website the following day. Mm-hmm. But I got to be completely honest about that show. And I actually talked about this in the Gaming Outsider a little bit last night. That show has fell into like a cyclical nature for me in that I feel like it's just going through the same thing with each season where they are coming across a new group of people and they have to decide whether or not to trust them. They decide to trust them and then they find out that they shouldn't have trusted them. And they have to fight them off, and it becomes less and less about the main idea of what is going on in that story, which is this zombie thing. I don't see any end in sight for this story at all. There's no, I mean, and again, I haven't read the comics or graphic novels, whichever you want to refer to them as. So I don't know if that's ended. I've heard that it hasn't or led that way.
No, it's still going.
But we're in like so many seasons now. You've got to have at least some kind of end game. I mean, look at like a show like Game of Thrones that finally had a turning point last season where you kind of start to see where they're going. I feel like Walking Dead has been due for that turning point to see where it's headed for in quite a long time. And they're hanging their coat on people are going to watch it no matter what. And I feel like I don't want to be a part of that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing in season 1 when they actually try to get to Atlanta to the CDC, I felt like it was like purpose, right? There's a mission I have to accomplish, and then it was get to DC, and then you get the wool pulled over your eyes that he doesn't really know anything, and it's like, well, son of a, that was the jump the shark moment for me until the flowers, and then people and the barbecue, and then I was kind of back.
But you kept watching till the flowers. That's my point. Is you went through like 2 or 3 or 4 seasons, however long it was until that episode, just because. And like I'm getting to the point where I don't know if I want to do that anymore.
I know. I was at the same point in season 6. I was like, really? But then you get to the finale and you're like, son of a.
Yep, I could have walked away clean.
So I have a Microsoft band that I wear. And while I watch the show, I monitor. And it doesn't help that I usually go for a run before I watch the show just so that I could like, hopefully, like, just get any nervous energy out of me that I can before I watch it. Because the reason why I'm on the bubble for the show is because I can't take the pressure anymore. I'm getting to that point where I'm watching my heart rate go up to the 120s, 130s. I'm not even moving. I'm sitting still. And this show just winds me up over and over and over again. It's crazy. This goes back to my little story of how you never see raccoons out in the wild just scaring each other for giggles. It's just something that our human nature leads us to do to one another just for the fun of it. So I'm getting to where I don't know if I can take it anymore.
Well, make sure you get your pacemaker then for Westworld.
They're gonna shock you.
You son of a bitch. That's new characters. That's something new. Mm-hmm. Granted, there's new characters in Walking Dead, but they're nowhere near as interesting as the core characters that we've known to love from the first two or three seasons.
The best thing they could do for that show is kill Rick Grimes. That would be interesting. That would be exciting.
No, they should kill Judith.
Well, that too. They can kill each other together and die in each other's arms.
Oh, now it's poetic. I like it. That would keep me around.
Yep.
You know, I do like the idea of like them hinting to a final end game finally for the show, because no, the comic is still going and it's still strong and it's still making its they're still publishing it every single month. But the show itself, you can't keep a show like this going inevitably. Eventually it's going to hit that point where, okay, someone we love is going to die. Oh, look, it's that person. And it's just, they're going to keep doing that over and over again. So I do like the idea of there being some sort of end game.
The zombies had to evolve. Like killing him, stabbing him in the head doesn't kill him anymore, or something. Something new. It's been long enough since the original outbreak.
How about the fact that they're walking dead and at some point they're going to have to decay? Like, that's simple enough, isn't it?
Well, they are decaying. If you watch the makeup changes every single season to be grottier and darker and gooier.
Right, but it's just been a visual thing. It's never been addressed. Like, hey, maybe we can just ride this thing out.
Point.
That's a boring TV show. Hey, let's just sit here and have marshmallows over our big bonfire on the lake.
Well, you still got to survive.
You can survive with marshmallows.
That's true. All right, John, what are your shows that you're most looking forward to returning?
Okay, so first of them is How to Get Away with Murder. This show is not in my wheelhouse just because it's not the kind of, I'm not into the Grey's Anatomy and all those other kind of shows, but this show, headed up by Viola Davis, which, by the way, it comes out September 22nd when the season premiere starts. This show really has a great way of, like Walking Dead messes with my adrenaline one way, this messes with my adrenaline in a different way, and I kind of like it. It's the story behind it, if you don't watch it, it's a suspense-driven legal thriller about a group of ambitious law students and their brilliant, mysterious criminal defense professor, who's Viola Davis. It also stars one of the Harry Potter kids. What was his name again? Enoch?
Who is it?
Alfred Enoch.
Okay.
So, yeah, he grew up into this character that's on the show. And there's a lot of mystery. If you watch the show currently, there's a lot of mystery between the relationship between Viola Davis and Alfred Enoch's character. This show is a lot of fun. It's great. It's crazy. I almost said batshit.
You can say batshit.
It's batshit. Yeah.
It is. If you're not watching it, you need to watch it. As long as you have the constitution for some of the stuff they do in it, because there's a whole lot of dudes servicing other people. Yeah, there's like chicks being serviced by dudes. There's dudes being serviced by dudes.
There's chicks being serviced by chicks. Famke Johnson, Aaron.
Oh, right.
It's got
a little bit of everything for everybody.
How to Get Away with Booty. That's what they should call it.
They really should call it that.
That's about what it is.
I like how they set up each season, because each season they give you a big plot point and then they work backwards from that towards that plot point. So they're like, they give you that, oh my God, how did that happen? And then they work towards it, and it's really great to piece everything together.
Yeah, it's almost like a memento feel in a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very great show if you're not watching it. Anyone have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to that one, because where they left it off at the end of last season, I was like, oh, what?
Oh, my God. That last season finale was fantastic. It really just blew my mind.
See what you did there.
I didn't even do that on purpose.
We don't even get the joke. So there you go.
Yay, Troy and I just went full Heimritz together. The next show I'm really excited about on CW on October 21st, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I know there aren't a lot of people who are watching this show. You need to watch this show if you want to just have fun. It's about this crazy girl who's a lawyer from New York, and she decides she drops everything from New York to move to West Covina because her old boyfriend from when she was in summer camp lives there, and the rest of the time it's her trying to kind of playing with getting together with him or not. It's crazy as well. There's it breaks out in a song. There's these awesome songs that you'll find. Like there's a great song for tonight called Heavy Boobs. Every woman out there knows what
you
that
can
song
draw
is
those
about.
Right,
I can draw those. Sweet. It's kind of like my theme song. So when I walk in a room, it's playing Heavy Boobs.
Especially because you're holding a boombox over your head while it's playing.
Absolutely. A lot of fun. You really need to watch this show. It's I'm just so excited. I've lost all my words for it. It's gonna be great. And then my last show is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of Suck? What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, how's the shame feel? You got a shame pillow with you? Because you should hold it right now while you're talking.
I actually had to pull it away from Scott because, again, like I said earlier in the episode, it's that show that I love, but I'm really mad at it because I have to apologize for the first season. So I'm really excited for this season. The way they ended last season was great. This season has some promise of some really cool things that they haven't done on TV before, and I'm really kind of stoked. I really want this to happen. If you start watching it and you haven't before, I'm really sorry for season one.
Yeah, well, at least you're still apologizing. I want to ask, when there's only like 8 people, maybe 15 people watching that show, how the hell is it still on the air? Is it because Marvel basically ABC owns Marvel, or Disney owns ABC and Marvel, whatever it is? Is that why?
I think it's still on the air because the legs it has comes from the 3-day view and the 7-day view. And so I think ABC realizes there's a lot more people watching it because of DVRs and through Hulu and stuff. And that's one of the reasons why they're keeping it around, as well as the massive juggernaut that is Marvel. So there's money being funneled back to ABC for that reason.
All right. A couple others to mention real quick. Gilmore Girls returns to Netflix on November 25th. All you Gilmore Girls fans, get excited.
And now you know why I talk so fast.
The Flash returns October 4th. Supergirl, October 10th. Supernatural, October 13th. All three are on the CW, which all they
have. Otherwise known as Comic World.
Yeah, Comic World or Vampires. That's all they have.
DCW.
DCW. Oh, they should change their title. All right, well, that's it for our TV fall look. I hope that really gave you some shows to look forward to. I hope it touched on some ones you didn't realize were coming back. Whatever. I hope you got something out of it. And if you want to recommend some shows, go to the Facebook group. Go to the Hollywood Outsider, the Facebook group, and recommend some new shows. We'd love to hear.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this? Now it's time to go into our From the Outside In topic, which is the Battle Royale. It's not the movie Battle Royale, it's the TV Battle Royale, because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about TV pilots. Since this is a TV-specific episode, we thought we'd have a little bit of fun and discuss the best TV pilots of all time until we are left with only one, Highlander, which would be considered the greatest TV pilot of all time. Now, for those that don't know, a pilot is that introductory episode of a TV show that sets everything up. Before we start, though, I do want to know, how do you guys define a great TV pilot? What is a great TV pilot to you, Troy?
when I'm done watching the TV pilot, I immediately go, I got to watch that again.
Well, that could be any episode of television. That's any episode of television, though. What defines a pilot?
No, I will rewatch an episode of television, Kate May excluded, for all you Blacklist fans out there. I've never rewatched an episode of television. I've only rewatched pilots because I wanted to make sure I got every character, every point, everything that came up. If I've rewatched the pilot, I'm pretty much in for the show.
I think that's really interesting because my initial thought was a good pilot is a show that makes me want to see the next episode. I've never considered a pilot that I had to go and rewatch that same episode immediately afterwards. That's really interesting.
John, how would you define it?
You know, for me, a pilot episode is a promise. It's a promise of that show is making to you. And it's saying, hey, this is what we're going to give you. And as long as we respect this, we hope that you're going to enjoy it. And as long as, and if a show can carry through the promise of the pilot, which again, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did not do this.
It took 2 years for it to happen.
Yeah, it took 1 year because the first season had to go away. But anyhow, we're digressing. As long as it follows through with that promise, it makes it a great pilot.
I say the pilot has to set up everything, or at least, you know, set up the crux of the show. What is the basic show about? Has to immediately establish the characters, and it has to give me plot lines that I need to see continue. If it doesn't do all three of those things, it's not a great pilot to me. It might be good, it might be decent, I might come back to it, but a great pilot does all those things. And it also, I think, kind of, in terms of great, like taking it to the next level, it changes culture in some respect. Whatever that respect is, we might not realize it until years later, but it changes the climate, it changes the conversation, it changes pop culture. And that's what I think a great TV pilot will do, and it's been numerous cases of it happening.
What do you guys think about in a pilot, like having a great cliffhanger that kind of leaves you hanging and just like makes you want to see what's going to happen next in the next episode? Is that necessary?
I don't think it's necessary. I think it helps if you're trying to get people to the next episode. But if that's all your TV show is, I don't think that's a great pilot. I think you got to have the substance too.
You don't want to start out as a serialized show right out of the gate. I mean, take Blacklist, for example. I mean, I didn't pick it for based on my rule, I should have picked it for one of my two because I did rewatch it twice, like right away. Probably because we had podcast obligations for it, but I did watch it twice because I thought the pilot was fantastic. But what was great about the Blacklist pilot was that the next episode was a standalone episode. They started out as a procedural and I liked it more because it was a procedural. It set up, like Aaron was saying, it set up the concept and the mythology and the things that we're going to look for as the show continues, but it wasn't dependent on having seen the pilot to understand what episode two was.
That's interesting.
That's very fair. When a pilot to me ends in cliffhanger, it's telling me that the pilot just isn't enough. It doesn't do all the selling for you. And that's what a pilot should do, is do all the selling.
Absolutely, I agree with that 100%. All right, let's get into our battle royale. Let's start with Scott. We're doing Ho North, which means Scott goes first. Scotty, what are your two episodes? And remember, you present your two as to why you think they are the two greatest pilots of all time, and then you take our vote and our best of three determine which one moves to the next round.
Okay. My first pick is the pilot episode of The Newsroom, which is an HBO series, and the episode is called We Just Decided To.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only three categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what you're talking about.
This episode just totally hooked me into the show. Specifically, why this is on my list is because I don't like politics, guys. I've never liked politics. Aaron, you can attest to that, right?
Yeah.
I want very little to do with it. Anytime anything comes on political, I just go to Aaron and ask him just to give me the cliff notes because I don't want to read all the articles and stuff about it. But there is something about this show, the opening speech that Will McAvoy gives in this about why it, where a college student asks him, why is America the greatest country in the world, was so shocking and so unexpected. It made me sit up and go, okay, this show has something to say. I had no idea what to expect going in. And when I realized that this show was going to be centered around experiencing real world news that happened in the past, but from a perspective of a media outlet that was experiencing it well before the public ever did, and deciding what to do with that was so insanely interesting to me. I was just hooked from the very beginning. You couple that with the fact that the characters were so animated and real, I was immediately invested in this world, which is weird because I'm usually not invested in worlds that are real life. And Newsroom brought me into that realm of it, and it was really cool. Plus the snappy writing by Aaron Sorkin just totally sold me from the very beginning. Everything about that episode just hooked me, and I was ready to go and more for that. My second episode is probably my favorite series of all times, and it's Game of Thrones.
Lord Stark. M'lady. The guardsmen just rode in from the hills. They captured a deserter from the Night's Watch.
Get the lads to saddle their horses.
Do you have to?
He swore an oath, Cat.
Law is law, m'lady.
Tell Bran he's coming too.
Ned, 10 is too young to see such things.
He won't be a boy forever. And winter is coming.
The opening episode, which is aptly named Winter is Coming, was so fantastic to me. And mostly because I had initially no interest in watching this show. I had heard about the book series, and I had seen people post on Facebook that the show was coming and he had to watch it. But I was just not ready to get into like another fantasy world. I just felt like I was so done with fantasy by the time I walked into this. Went in knowing nothing, and I basically watched this show on a dare from Brian on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And as people have known, he basically told me, watch it. If you don't like it, I will pay for the first season for you. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And holy cow, did this show hook me on that first episode. It starts out right off the bat introducing us to the White Walkers, which was so scary and so visceral and so real at the time. Right on the Wall, which was a pivotal landmark in this series. But it also introduced us to like completely unimportant characters. The first characters that you see in this movie, in this TV show, you never see again after the first episode, ever. Mm-hmm. They're just never there. And to me, that was a way that grabbed me, that nobody is safe in this series. And then from that point, it leads us on to major characters and groups around Westeros, each with kind of like a separate and equally interesting storyline that intertwines with every other section of the world. And then the ending of this episode, I know we talked that a cliffhanger was not necessary, but holy cow, did the cliffhanger of that episode leave me wanting, just going, what the hell is going on? You've got a brother and a sister caught banging, and a kid watches it and gets thrown out of a window because he sees it. Nothing has ever hooked me to want to see a second episode of a series more than that. To be like, did I just see what I just saw?
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew me away and got me invested right away. And thankfully, the show carried on from that point. But that pilot totally got me hooked on that show. So those are my two picks, Newsroom and Game of Thrones.
Those are two really good ones, man. You got to take
strong
the vote.
Choices.
Yeah, you got to take the vote.
All right, so let's go ahead and start with our guest, John. John, between The Newsroom, We Just Decided To, and Game of Thrones, Winter is Coming, which would you choose as your favorite pilot?
My favorite pilot would have to be Game of Thrones. That pilot was what I call John Nip. It's kind of like having a 250-pound cat play with something in his hands and start throwing it back and forth. I mean, I have to go with Game of Thrones. Newsroom. That's the speech you brought up in the beginning is a great speech. It's a fantastic speech, and it's a really good reason to watch that show because it does set up everything for that show. But Game of Thrones, I love it. I love that episode. It took that episode to get my wife to start watching the show. It's just my strong pick.
All right, Troy. What about you?
Man, that's a really tough call. But there is something to be said about Aaron Sorkin. Probably another reason I talk as fast as I do. Because I love Aaron Sorkin and everything that he does, even Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. And that 9-minute speech, that 9-minute opening in the front of the newsroom, if it hadn't been for that speech, I never would have watched the show. So at least with Game of Thrones, I probably would have watched the show even without the pilot. So from that perspective, I'd have to pick the newsroom.
Ah, okay. Interesting choice. And Aaron?
I gotta be honest, this is a lot closer than I think most people would think it would be. It's very, very close because Game of Thrones didn't hook me from the pilot. I had to watch like 5 or 6 episodes before I decided if I was going to stick with it or not. But when you look at the pilot and you see all the things that it set up well in that initial pilot, Game of Thrones wins. But I will say it's very, very close just because I think Newsroom might have gripped me a little bit more. But in terms of great TV pilots, I think Game of Thrones takes it.
Well, what's the rule on that? Can you judge it based on the future content or you have to judge it just solely on the pilot?
I'm pretty sure I can judge it however the hell I want. It's my vote. So I'm going with, I'm going with that.
I'm just
damn. No.
It's his goddamn show.
It's best. That's right.
Come on, son.
Get in the seat, bitch.
That's right.
Yeah, you can ride shotgun, but you ain't driving. The show itself, I mean, it has to be the greatest TV pilot, right? Greatest TV pilot. I think Game of Thrones is a better TV pilot because it's just by a hair, but it sets up so much. It pays off everything it needs to pay off, and it continues, and it sets up so many threads that end up being used like years later, and you don't even realize it from that initial episode. So it doesn't feel like it's a cliffhanger because you don't know it's even going to come into play. It's a great pilot. It really is. And so is Newsroom. They both are. But I think Newsroom is more about that opening speech than it is the whole episode, which is why Game of Thrones takes it.
That's fair. All right. So Game of Thrones takes it, and we will go to the other Ho North, which is going to be you, Aaron.
All right. September 10th, 1993. That's when one of my favorite duos in history paired up to explore the unexplained, the paranormal. They vowed to trust no one.
What happened?
We lost power. Brakes, steering, everything. We lost 9 minutes.
Woo! You lost what?
9 minutes. I looked at my watch just before the flash, and it was 9:03. It just turned 9:13. Look! Look! Oh, yes! Abductees. People that have made UFO sightings. They've reported unexplained time loss.
Come on!
Gone! Just like that.
You're saying that time disappeared. Time can't just disappear. It's a universal invariant.
Not in this zip code.
This was the episode that was aptly named Pilot that introduced Agent Fox Mulder to Agent Dana Scully on a case revolving around members of a high school class of 89 that were been found dead with suspicious marks on their backs. Mulder thinks aliens, Dana thinks he's nuts and thinks science. So why is this in the running for the greatest pilot ever? Well, because it nails every single angle. Every angle. It sets up the crux of the show. Paranormal enthusiast versus a skeptic. They disagree on a lot, but they always do it respectfully, which is something you don't ever see on the internet anymore. They also do what was really rare at that time. They made Dana Scully into a character that was not sexualized or trivialized. She was just as formidable as Fox Mulder, as her male counterparts, and equal in every way. I mean, she was actually, in my opinion, a lot smarter than Fox Mulder.
More so, yeah.
She was smarter. She was the more intelligent character. She was more, she played everything more intelligently. And that's what made her such a remarkable character for television. Broke a lot of boundaries. It also introduced the show's mythology. which was honestly truly unheard of in those days. Lost owes X-Files. I'm so sick of people saying Lost invented this shit. No, X-Files. Call in your cards, Lost. X-Files gave you the opportunity. They opened that serialized door for you. That automatically, to me, makes it more important than a show like Lost. Yeah, I'm looking ahead. So we learn of how Mulder's sister's kidnapped as a child. We see the government conspiring against Mulder and wanting to discredit him. We also see Scully following orders. We see her keeping her semblance of dignity while doing that. We meet the cigarette-smoking man, and he barely does anything and still terrifies the hell out of us. We even learn why they put the I in FBI. It's a perfect freaking pilot. It's perfect. The show finally made really smart science fiction, really popular with the masses, which hadn't really happened to that point. It's just, I mean, how is this not the best pilot in history? I just don't even know how you can say it's not. But whatever. If you need another option, if you want to talk about a show that influenced television as we know it and X-Files that doesn't work for you because you hate aliens or you hate awesome, whatever it is, I've got another one for you. I will give you The Brother's Keeper, the pilot episode for Miami Vice.
The street corners in greater Miami, and Gumby here's got a big ours.
That is the show where Don Johnson starred as Detective Sonny Crockett, coolest pastel wearing cop ever, and he works in the city of Miami and reluctantly teams up with Philip Michael Thomas's Rico Tubbs to track down a drug dealer who killed their partners. Sounds pretty generic by the numbers, by the book. MTV Cops is what Brandon Tartikoff, who was running NBC at the time, that's what he wanted and that's what he got. That's what this show is. Why is this a great pilot? Why is this a defining pilot for television in general? It's the first time that a television show really utilized music the way that it did, where music assisted the story. It wasn't just really crappy electronic synthesized music in the background. It really set the mood. It told the story. It carried characters. It carried story arcs fluidly. And it still influenced television to this day. Every time you see a song dictating a mood, every time Sons of Anarchy plays a song in every freaking commercial break, that's thanks to Miami Vice. They set that tone. They created that mold. And then there was a style. The 80s were because of Miami Vice. I'm convinced that Miami Vice created the 80s. Like, basically, 1984 happened, or whatever year it was, 84, 85, when this came out. And the 80s finally began. Because this show...
It's a bold statement.
I'm telling you, man. Everything people wore, everything you heard from people, everything was influenced by this show. Entire schools were made of pastel suits, sunglasses, and casual shoes. That's what Miami Vice was. I mean, I had a white suit. I don't know why, but I had one. Because I wanted to be like Sonny Crockett. It's just the way it was, man. It's just the way it was. There are 8 pilots in this battle royale, and I'm giving you all the 2 that mattered the most. X-Files and Miami Vice. That's what you got. So I will go around the room and ask, Scott, what is your vote for the greatest pilot of these 2?
This one's a pretty easy choice for me, and I got to go with X-Files just because of the reasons that you mentioned. But to me also, X-Files made science fiction fun again. I feel like we were kind of like in a spot where outside of things like Star Wars and you know, bigger movie properties like that, it made it smart and funny at the same time. And the dichotomy between the 2 characters was so interesting. You got the straight-laced female character and the conspiracy theory male character that on paper shouldn't work, but they totally worked. And I did, and it was something fantastic that led to an amazing series that I haven't watched completely, but I've watched bits and pieces and loved every episode I ever saw. So X-Files gets my vote.
All right. Troy Heinrichs.
In the interest of brevity, because you didn't even have to say Miami Vice. Once you said X-Files, that was the vote. So we just could have ended it there.
Okay. And John?
You sold me X-Files.
Okay. Okay. So now we go to Ho South. You've got John. You're up first. What are your 2? And you're actually representing Justin in this. So you're putting on Justin's cloak, if you will.
Let me see if I can do Justin real quick. Wait,
hold on. Oh, boy.
Okay. That didn't work out so well for me last time.
What a lovely singing voice.
What?
I'm sorry, I totally forgot.
What just happened?
You now have my permission to die.
I got it. All right. All right. It took me a minute. Sorry.
Oh, God. I'm so proud of myself tonight.
You should be.
All right. So Justin had two great choices. And when I was asked to come on the show, Aaron asked me if I can support these two choices. And I can. I love these two shows. So let's start off with the first one. In the beginning, we had apparently robots because we were talking about Battlestar Galactica.
There's a reason why you separate military and the police. One fights the enemy, the state. The other serves and protects the people. When the military becomes both, then the enemies of the state tend to become the people.
I appreciate the complexity of the issue.
The original show aired in 1970s. It was a one-season show. It was crazy because if you really think about it, this one-season show had a massive impact on pop culture. Now we're going to fast forward to 2003, and we have part one and part two of the miniseries that starts Battlestar Galactica, the new show. And really, when this thing airs, it shoots off like a cannon and plays like a guide to what we cannot do in Star Trek. You know, you have spectacular space battles. You have beautiful women in slinky outfits. There's a heavy amount of violence. There's drinking. There's swearing. And they use space in this beautiful, quiet way to draw tension out of the show. When you look at the show as a whole, it was surprisingly cheap. Everyone was wearing clothes that was pretty close to what we were wearing back in 2003. You know, people were using devices in that show that was pretty close to what we're using as far as devices. So this money that they poured into the show really went into hiring the right actors that can convey the right feeling and can have the right amount of gravitas to have a beautiful show taken seriously. They also took the special effects of the show extremely seriously. Mm-hmm. Poor English, I think.
Well, it was goods.
It was goods? Mm-hmm. We'll go on with goods. I got this. Back to my idea of something that sets up a promise. Battlestar Galactica, part one and part two of the miniseries that was basically the pilot of the show, said, listen, we are going to take this goofy, stupid space opera from the 1970s that everyone loves. We are going to take it seriously, and we're going to give you something that you can respect. And not only will you respect it, but people who aren't like you, people who are normal, we're going to make it more accessible to people who really just need to be opened up to this genre. And really, the show carried through that promise. They respected it. They treated it with as well as they possibly could with the budget they were working on. They were on the Sci-Fi Channel, one of the least respected channels on television today. So
Sci-Fi.
Wasn't it Sci-Fi then? It was Sci-Fi then.
It was Sci-Fi then, and then they changed it over to Sci-Fi, and I hated them forever. So, and because they broke my heart, Vito. They broke my heart.
Oh, nice.
Following up the choice of Battlestar, part one and part two of the miniseries as a choice, just a yin to the yang, another show, a small little show. It has a massive impact on pop culture, and that's Serenity. That's the pilot episode for Firefly.
You're late. You're lying.
What did you just say to me?
You're well aware we landed 2 hours before we planned to, with all the goods you sent us after intact, ready to roll. It's your decision to get tetchy, say we're late. It means you're looking to put us on the defensive right up front, which means something's gone wrong. It didn't go wrong on our end, so why don't we start again with you telling us what's up?
You're later than I'd like.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
You got in here sooner. You might have beaten the bulletin that came up saying rogue vessel classification Firefly was spotted pulling illegal salvage on a derelict transport.
Didn't ideas? Doesn't lead to you.
No, it doesn't. But a government stamp on every molecule of the cargo just maybe might. Oh, you noticed that? You were going to hand over imprinted goods and just let me twist. Is that the case?
We didn't pick the cargo.
And I didn't flash my ass at the Goram Law. It's no deal.
That ain't fair.
Crime and politics, little girl. Situation is always fluid.
The first episode of Firefly aired September 2002. The pilot actually aired December 20th, 2002.
That's great.
This is what, if you caught it earlier in the episode, this is what I think Troy was alluding to as far as mistakes that Fox has made. Mm-hmm. Because Fox felt like an episode to a show, a pilot episode that did everything a pilot episode needs to do. It needs to introduce you to your main characters, and it needs to tell you why you care, and it needs to tell you why they're important. Which this pilot episode really did that very well. And it has everything to do with Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon can take anything and turn it into a good idea. He can take something that's tired. He can take something goofy. He can take things that are on paper should not work. But because he relies so much on hiring the right people, and he relies so much on telling a good interpersonal relationship between those people, you suddenly care about something that is almost silly, like Space Cowboys. And I really wanted to spend more time in that world. Unfortunately, we all know how that story ends.
That's true.
My panelists, my friends, Troy, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. BSG all the way. Both the original series and the reboot. When you see that miniseries, and yes, you can debate if the miniseries was actually the pilot versus 33, but 33 was freaking great too. I mean, it was just fantastic. They're tired. They're jumping all over the place, trying to avoid. And it's just beat down, beat down, beat down. I mean, that, you talk about your pacemaker, John. That was the show where I was literally on the edge of my seat until the fourth season.
Aaron?
Man, I don't know everybody's going to think I'm going Firefly, but I'm going Battlestar Galactica. It's wow. It's very, very close. I'm not going to deny that. But I will tell you, I had less than zero. I had Robert Downey Jr. on Coke interest. Hopefully somebody will get that reference. I had very little interest in seeing Battlestar Galactica because I couldn't care less about that show, that idea. I just didn't care. I didn't need another space opera. And then I watched the pilot, and I'm just talking about the first episode. And by the end of that episode, I had to see everything that came after it. I couldn't stop. I couldn't make myself stop. I absolutely loved it. And as much as I love Firefly, and I love that entire series to death, I came to love it more after, like, as the show went on, I got to know all the characters because I saw the show from that screwed up episode, that first episode. So it already had me sold, but I don't think the pilot blew me away, even in retrospect. It's a good pilot, but it's not Battlestar Galactica, which saved an entire franchise, created an entire world, took the story in different ways. And different ideas, and really, really just made something new and unique when there wasn't anything. It's a brilliant pilot.
Altar has sex with a robot. That was awesome.
And we get to the creepy recesses of Troy's mind.
All right, Scotty.
Well, I will agree that I think Battlestar Galactica is a fantastic show, and I'll be the first to admit that I think overall as a show, I like Battlestar Galactica better than Firefly. But I'm going to fall with Firefly as the better pilot, mostly because of what Troy alluded to earlier, that, you know, where you argue about what's the actual pilot, the first two miniseries or that 33 episode. To me, I wasn't sold on Battlestar Galactica in those first two miniseries episodes. I was like, okay, this is kind of interesting. But until that first actual episode hit, I was kind of bored. I'm not going to lie. It was interesting, but I wasn't invested in the world until things started getting real. Firefly, on the other hand, introduced me to some interesting characters and made me interested in a world that I knew nothing about. And then it just had the most interesting characters that were so much fun to watch. And I'll be the first to admit that I might be a little jaded because Aaron actually showed me the first episode of Firefly in Hawaii when we went there together. So I might have been a little high on Hawaii fumes going into this, but that has stuck with me way more than either the first two miniseries episodes of Battlestar Galactica, so that gets my vote.
All right, that sounds like Battlestar wins, though.
It does.
Uh-oh! Troy, we're coming to you.
And we're going to make this super simple, because these are the two pilots that take the cake across the board, because when J.J. Abrams touches something, man, it turns to gold. Yes, that's right. We're talking about one red-headed Jennifer Garner running away from a giant red ball. And guess what? That's the end of the first season, and you're seeing it in the pilot already. And I thought that was an interesting setup to introduce us to our character who wants to work for the CIA. But guess what? She doesn't work for the CIA. She works for a really bad organization. But you find out that her dad also works for the really bad organization. So is the dad good or is the dad bad? Oh, wait, the dad is actually a double agent. Now we're getting interesting. She goes to the CIA. She becomes a double agent. And yes, we are talking about one Alias.
What did you do?
I might ask you the same question. The security section became aware of the breach and performed their function. You're familiar with the codes of conduct, Agent Bristow. You knew those codes applied to you, even as you put at risk the lives of every man and woman working at this agency.
Daddy wasn't at risk. He was just a man. He was a doctor. He was just...
You listen to me. Information about this agency must be treated like a virus. There is only one response to a virus, and that response is containment. You put us into a compromised situation, and even though I despise the countermeasure, we have...
This was a fantastic series. It was a fantastic pilot. And the best part about it is Ron Rifkin, people. Ron Rifkin makes this pilot, makes the show. He flat out tells Sydney Bristow, don't tell anyone about your job. And what does she do? She goes home. She tells her fiance and bam, he's whacked in the tub, blood everywhere. And that turns her entire character, her entire mission for the rest of the series to be against one Arvin Sloan. That is how you set up a pilot, ladies and gentlemen.
Damn. Very good choice, my friend. Very good choice.
The second one, which should need no introduction, you got explosions, pregnant ladies, hot girls, doctors, lawyers, shit strewn out all over the beach. Yes, we're talking about one very eye-opening experience, Lost.
That's a big bear.
You think that's what killed the pilot?
No. No, that's a tiny, teeny version compared to that.
Guys, this isn't just a bear. It's a polar bear.
That pilot was so good, it needed 2 hours in a full-length movie, basically, to give you what you needed to know about probably what is one of the greatest television shows of all time. The way that the jungle sequences were set up, the entire motion of the trees when the monster gets introduced for the first time, and everybody's like, dinosaurs? Boars? What the hell's in the jungle, man? And then we don't even get introduced to what's in the jungle until the second hour when we finally get to meet one Seth Norris. Yes, a pilot by the name of Greg Grunberg, who was also in Alias, so that makes the pilots doubly awesome. And we find out that the monster is actually some giant thing that just rips people up in the air, chews them up, spits them out, throws them back. And that entire sequence inside the jungle in the rain was just something I don't think you've ever seen on TV where the fear was so real in that entire sequence. And then you're just running for your life. And then you get to the end and then it's like, then there's the polar bear that shows up. And then it's like, guys, where are we? And man, from that point forward, Lost was it for me. Yes. So we'll go top to bottom here. Scotty, you first.
I had to go with Lost, and just because even though I'm not like the biggest fan of that show and the way that it ended, that pilot is like the definition of what a pilot should be in terms of introducing you to characters, getting you interested in it, and just giving you that mystery and intrigue as to where they are and what's going on. It was so good. I don't think there's much more that can be said about Lost. It was so good. It introduced a flashback sequence. Oh, just I loved it. So Lost gets my vote.
Aaron, let's go to you.
That's actually a lot closer than you think it's going to be, because I think Alias is one of the best pilots ever.
Yes, it is.
Man, well, this isn't the finale discussion. So yeah, Lost wins. But it's closer than it was Newsroom and Game of Thrones. It's like literally just a hair, and it's got to be Kate's hair because it's just a little bit.
Yeah, sure. It's not a wig hair from Sydney.
Yeah, it might have been. Oh man, it is really close. I'm really debating. Come back to me. I gotta think.
Okay, Jad, you get to go first.
All right. Back in 2007, not 2006. I started talking to this girl on the phone. I was living in a hovel in the middle of like downtown Sarasota in the hoodish kind of area. One night she shows up, and she lived in Atlanta at the time. And one night she shows up at my house after about a month and a half of talking to each other on the phone. And this crazy chick showed up at my house at 1 a.m. from Atlanta. That was kind of cool. She got me starting to watch this stupid show called Lost, and I loved it. I loved every single bit of it. Now, I tried to resist watching Lost because that's the kind of person I am. Oh, it's cool. I don't want anything to do with it. But I couldn't help it because, number one, she was just so damn cute. And number two, as soon as I saw Evangeline Lilly, I forgot who she was. I might have married her. I might have married her later, but for a little while, I forgot who the crazy chick who showed up at my door at 1 o'clock in the morning was. I love Lost. That pilot was. I mean, what's going on? What happened? Did that guy get sucked up into the damn jet? What happened here? What's going on? Okay, this is kind of cool. That's how I spent that entire episode. So I'm gonna have to go Lost.
There you go, Aaron. You're off the hook. You don't have to vote.
Well, I mean, if his story basically got him laid, so yeah, I'll go with Lost too. You won me. You won. You got
it's
me.
It's gonna get me laid again, I bet you.
Yeah, probably. So congratulations, man. Lost times three. Lost times
inside
three.
Inside those trees in that rainstorm, and Kate just counting one, two, and then just running. It was like, oh my gosh.
She's so scared.
You know, that's how I picture getting laid all the time. Really?
Yeah.
In the rain inside some trees.
With Kate counting, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's how every guy should picture it. All right, so now we've got Ho North and Ho South. We're a classy bunch. Now, we go and we got to move to the semifinals, guys. We got to go. So Game of Thrones versus X-Files. We're going to take a vote. And remember, we're not going to phone anybody, so we're going to have to work this out if we can't agree on one. So Game of Thrones versus X-Files. Which is the greatest TV pilot of those two? We'll start with Troy, because I kind of know which way he's going.
Wait, Game of Thrones versus X-Files?
Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones versus X-Files. Yep.
Yep. No brainer. X-Files.
All right. John?
X-Files.
Scott?
Game of Thrones.
X-Files. All right. X-Files moves on to the next round. Sorry, Game of Thrones. You needed just a few more dragons. I don't know what the hell. That was really cheesy, but it sounded cool at the time.
Oh, my dragons.
You were so close.
I almost pulled it off.
Maybe you can do it later and just edit it yourself, having a better one.
And just put in a laugh track. There you go. I'm going to use that. I'm just going to recycle that throughout the episode every time I say something. And the second one for Ho South, Battlestar Galactica versus Lost. Let's go the other way. Scott.
I'm going to go Lost.
John.
I'm going to go Lost.
Troy.
Lost all the way.
That's a clean sweep. Lost takes it. Okay, so we've got Lost. Oh, boy. Now it gets real.
This is going to be tough.
Now it gets real.
Sophie's choice.
Okay, now the finalists for the Ho Battle Royale, TV pilot Battle Royale. We have the X-Files versus Lost, which is honestly, I think, where it should be. That feels right to me. So let's go with John. John, you haven't started. John, what's your vote for the greatest TV pilot of all time between Lost and X-Files?
You know, I might have gotten some heavy petting and some cuddling and some getting laid from Lost, but X-Files like created a world for me, and it opened up a genre that may have been closed to me at one point in my life. So I'll have to go X-Files.
All right, Troy, what's your vote?
I loved me some X-Files when it first came out on Fox, but just the experience of that Lost pilot and just remembering exactly where you were when it all went down, and, you know, they're pulling people from the wreckage and they're dragging pregnant people across the beach, and then the thing explodes and the dude goes flying in the air and you're like, this is on television, this is fantastic. Yeah, it's tough, but I think the grasshopper beats the master here, and I have to give it to Lost.
Scott?
I gotta agree with Troy. Lost to me made me want to watch more of that show more than X-Files did. X-Files is great, but Lost takes the cake.
And I'm on X-Files. What do we do?
We call anyone other than Steve Peterson?
Justin, right? Or Justin McCumber. Troy, why don't you get Mark from Solo Talk Media on the phone?
We are having some fun discussing the best TV pilot ever. And we are at a stalemate.
Best TV pilot ever.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. We've got it down to two finalists, and we need somebody to break the tie. So, Mark, why don't you
Yes.
Why don't you break the tie for us? Are you ready for the pressure?
Okay. What are the two pilots?
Okay. Go ahead, Troy. You can sell it.
Oh, I can sell it.
Well, I feel like I shouldn't.
One of them's mine.
Yeah, I can't trust it. Scott, why don't you sell them? Because you don't have a vested interest in either one of them.
I don't. So the first pilot is the X-Files pilot, and the second is the pilot for the TV show Lost. So between those two, which do you think is the greatest TV pilot? Not the greatest series, but the greatest pilot.
Of all time.
Ooh. They each have their merits. It's hard to judge with the pilot knowing this, the whole series, but looking at just the pilot,
mm-hmm.
I'd have to give the edge to Lost.
Damn it! Son of a bitch. Fine. I wish you would have had bad internet.
Yeah, I just... Lost had so much... The pilot laid the groundwork for so much of the rest of the series, a lot more than X-Files. X-Files did a little bit, but there was so much groundwork laid in that pilot for Lost that's what gave it the edge.
All right. Well, thank you for playing real quick. And before we let you go, can you tell people where they can find you, Mark?
Yeah, you can find me at solotalkmedia.com, where I podcast about Killjoys, Orphan Black, The Expanse, and the... now, thankfully, retired Under the Dome podcast.
Everybody hates Under the Dome, man. Everybody. Okay, well, thanks for coming on such short notice. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks,
no
man.
Problem.
Okay, well, there we go. We got it. We got a winner. It is Lost.
That.
No, I ain't mad either, but X-Files is better. So it's fine. I mean, what are you going to do? I could be a sore loser and just keep reminding people how X-Files is better. Or I could just concede that Lost won, you know, kind of fair and square.
Well, you did say that, you know, X-Files set up the way. So it just did what it was supposed to do. It learned from the best.
Yeah.
We did it better.
Can we just keep calling people until we get somebody who votes my way? That would that'd be cool.
Wouldn't take long.
It probably would. Probably wouldn't. Well, Lost is your greatest TV pilot ever. That is the clear winner now. So let's go into real quick what our listeners think. We got to wrap this show up. So we're going to go round robin and just mention what our listeners picked as their pick for the greatest TV pilot.
Justina, is it Scave or Scav or Scave?
Sure.
She'll tell me sometime. Uh-huh. Says X-Files. So there's one for X-Files.
Whoop, whoop.
Craig Schimmerhorn said Jeff Carter. Oh, sorry.
Really, man?
That's why he put it in there. Son of a.
I guess you don't listen to Blacklist Exposed.
Yes. And
yeah, you really should listen to that show. Yeah.
I should. Justina did say X-Files, which gave Aaron one, but Lost was said by Craig Schimmerhorn, Jeff Carter, Steve Peterson, Brian Lowry, Amy Hutchinson, Wayne Henderson, and Brady Joe. So suck it, X-Files.
Ooh, I will punch you in the... All right. Scott?
Also, Josh Stymus said The Shield. I've not seen that show.
Oh, it's a great... Man, the pilot's good. Great. Pilot's great. Ty Nelson and Marcus Shelton both said Battlestar Galactica.
Jen Sansevier said Supernatural. It was a fun, freaky, and immediately engaging. Even now, as I start season 12, it's still one of the fandom's favorite episodes. I would have to agree that's a really good show. And good pilot.
Yeah. Ard Pennington said Batman 66. Then again, I was 5 years old at the time.
Anna Marie Germa says, I'm torn. House MD is an amazing character introduction, but Game of Thrones had an epic pilot. I have to go with House MD.
Ooh.
Good choice.
Game of Thrones got beat by House. You got beat by a crazy doctor. What's that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
And Amanda Marie says, Buffy. For a show that was a mid-season replacement, they pulled in audience enough to wrap them up for many more years, and it's still a cultural phenomenon. I think this was the huge stepping stone for women to get into carrying the leading role for such a long time as a badass.
Agreed. Kyle Boggs. However, a one-season show that should have been renewed known as Invasion or 11-22-63.
Yeah, I wouldn't call either one of those great pilots, but I did like both shows.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has a podcast. Scott Calgaro says the pilot for NYPD Blue was amazing. At the time, it was groundbreaking television. That gets my vote.
And it had a naked David Caruso ass. So whatever you're into, man. whatever you're into.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Wasp, for me, Peaky Blinders was hooked after the pilot. Possibly the best British TV series in years. That's a good show.
Andrew G says, person of interest, pilot was awesome to me, or the Blacklist pilot episode.
What? Andrew, love you.
Tamala Payne, Misfits, a British TV show, and The Flash.
I've heard of The Misfits, and I've heard that's really good.
The Flash was a really good pilot, too. Jonathan Spear, the pilots of Lost, Supernatural, Boardwalk Empire, Firefly, and 24 are perfect first episodes. I agree. 24 was really, really close for me.
Really close. Bradley Peterson Sr. from the 60s, the first episode of The Flintstones and The Beverly Hillbillies were both in prime time.
Wait, I think I screwed up. I jumped Scott Clark.
You jumped Scott and you jumped me, but that's okay. We're rolling. And
okay,
we're just going with the punches here.
Scott was going to go next.
Courtney Davenport says, Prison Break grabbed me from episode one. As soon as he revealed the full back tattoo, I was in.
Ooh, we missed that one, Aaron.
Yeah, that's a good one. And apparently, if you watch Lost, there's a good chance you can sleep with Courtney. Just saying.
Actually, if you watch Prison Break, too. So, sweet. Both work.
We'll talk about that. It's coming back.
Philip Thompson, Vikings grabbed me right away. It was a show that I had barely heard of, and it was bloody and dirty and a period piece. All things I love. I also filled up on GOT, Void.
It.
I had to go
it
on.
It also filled. Boy, you're not good at reading, you know?
No, I'm really not. I'm running out of time here.
I know a good teacher.
Philip liked Vikings because it filled his Game of Thrones void.
Oh, I are good at words.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you is. All right. And you know what? What one pilot didn't come up in all of this? Breaking Bad. Not once. Did it come up in all of
good.
This? A lot of people say that is a great pilot. Brian used to rave about what a great pilot. I would not put it in even the top 10, honestly, of all-time pilots.
Yeah, now that you bring it up, that is true. How did that not make it in here?
Because I don't think it's a great pilot.
Not good.
It's great as a series. It's not a great pilot, I don't think. My personal opinion.
I feel like I wasn't hooked in that show until the second or third episode. It wasn't a bad... Oh, no way.
Yeah, I was
the season one finale, but I was the second season two is where it got good.
Yep, for me, same thing. Okay, well, thanks, man. That was a lot of stuff. We still got two more things real quick to wrap up, but let's do What's This Movie, Scott?
All right, each week we pick a movie suggested by either our host or a listener. The person has the option to either play a clip, offer a What Am I limerick, riddle or haiku, or reenact a famous quote from their movie. If you think you know what the movie is, you can email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com or through the contact tab in the app, and we'll give you a proper host shout-out on the next episode. Last week's episode was Dave McGraw's pick, and he's had a limerick based on Back to the Future. Aaron, do you have those who guessed it correctly?
Yeah, it was Alexander Wass, Steve Peterson, Brian Stever, Pete Dennis, and Mike Francis. And we got a lot of messages from people saying they really liked the change on What's This Movie. So we'll keep it that way.
Yeah, cool. Well, this week it's Troy's chance to confuse us with a TV show. So, Troy, what do you got for us?
All right. I liked the limerick from last week, so I did a limerick as well.
Okay. And it's a TV theme because it's a TV episode.
That's right. TV show this week. TV show. There once was a student all mouther who thought that school was a bother. Raped and defiled, she goes the extra mile to clear the name of her father.
Dun, dun, dun. And you should do it one more time just for people so they don't have to repeat.
Yes, yes. There once was a student all mouther who thought that school was a bother. Raped and defiled, she goes the extra mile to clear the name of her father.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Now, if you think you know what it is, email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com or contact tab in your podcast app. Oh, we've come to the end of the show. My God, people. This is a long one. I didn't realize it was going to go this long. We've been, even with technical difficulties and whatnot, I didn't think it was going to go this long. Anything anybody wants to recommend as we wrap up? I'll go round robin. John, anything you want to mention real quick?
I want to remind everyone that Psych is going to be falling off of Netflix, according to Netflix, on October 1st. So if you haven't watched it yet or you've been meaning to watch it, now is the time to dive into that show. Go have fun. Enjoy yourself. Have a pineapple or two. Mm. And spend some time with some really good people and make some new friends. Just do that.
You know, that's right. You heard about Pluto, right?
You hear about Pluto, right?
That's messed up. Troy, what about you? Any recommendations?
Recommendations. I can't say any more good things about Stranger Things. Watched it twice now. It is absolutely fantastic on Netflix. And because Fringe will be going away, you missed the train. You're going to have to buy the Blu-ray. Highly recommend it. It should be a series you own. So to fill your void until your Blu-rays for Fringe show up, watch Stranger Things.
And Scotty?
I've actually got one. I'm apparently on a Netflix kick, Netflix original kick. I watched this, what is a kid's movie, actually, called The Little Prince. Have you guys heard about this one?
Oh, yeah, it was really good.
Oh, my goodness. This was such a surprise, and I can't get over how much I enjoyed it, and I didn't think I would. It's an animated movie, and it's the story of a little girl who is basically plagued by her mother, who is a control freak and sets her to, like, this routine schedule. And she's got she's homeschooled basically and goes through all of her studies and everything, but she befriends a neighbor guy that is this old timer that tries to fly an airplane, and he basically opens her up to using her imagination instead of following by the rules and living life verbatim by a schedule. And it's really interesting, and it's got a really sweet story, and I just loved how the whole thing wrapped up. Highly recommend it. Check it out.
Okay. I want to mention real quick, I saw Morgan. That came out a couple weeks. It's probably already out of theaters because it was a huge flop. When it gets on video, I think I just want people to go check it out. It's definitely a rental. It's not something you should go pay for in a theater. It's a one-time viewing only. But I kind of liked it. I thought it was kind of a cool little story, and it worked for me. It was very simple, very by the numbers, but it's worth a rental. It's one of those, just check it out on a Saturday night, and then you'll go into it. It's basically about a kid who's been raised in a lab, created, so to speak, by people, and they're assessing if this kid is a threat or not. And then things go wrong, because I think the kid might be a threat. So check that out when it gets on video on demand or whatever. Morgan. And I also saw two new movies. I saw Sully, which is the story. Tom Hanks and Clint Eastwood directed this film. Tom Hanks stars as Sully, who's basically, he's the pilot from that Miracle on the Hudson a few years ago where the plane had a water landing, not a crash. It was a water landing, and saved 155 passengers and crew. And then, of course, he was praised a hero in the press, while behind the scenes he was getting a lot of flack from the airline and the union and the insurance company, stuff like that, because, you know, everybody needs a scapegoat these days. Everybody's looking for somebody to blame. And that's what happened to Sully behind the scenes. And Tom Hanks, man, just another stellar portrayal. It's like the guy cannot do anything wrong. He portrays a man that is really wrestling with what happened. Did he do the right thing? Because everybody's questioning him. So everywhere he goes, he has to question himself because everybody else is questioning him. And it's a very interesting story. I didn't know there was a story there. I didn't know there was anything interesting to be told there. And somehow Tom Hanks found it. Or Clint Eastwood found it. They found it together. And they made a true story of patriotism. I know that's not popular these days, or the notion of it doesn't seem to be. But as somebody who served in the military, I found it very patriotic and very respectable to the man and the situation. And I think Clint Eastwood, once again, he just loves doing Americana, man. He likes doing American cinema. And if $10 full price for admission, I would give it $7. I think it's a very well-told and succinct piece of filmmaking. It's only like an hour and a half, so they don't drag it on. And for a story that I didn't think was going to be movie enough for a movie, it was actually a really interesting movie. And the other one I saw was Tell Me How I Die, which comes out September 16th on video on demand. And it surrounds a group of people who go to this isolated, giant corporate building in the middle of a winter wonderland, and where there's nothing else there. So why they would build this facility, this research facility here, makes no sense to me. But they're there for experimental trials on a drug that possibly will help Alzheimer's. Well, they start having side effects to where they start seeing the future. Not far in the future, just maybe minutes, maybe a little bit longer. And as that starts to happen, they start seeing their own deaths. And then there's a story that unfolds after that. Really interesting movie. Really cool concept. I actually really dug it. Is it a little generic or by the numbers? In some respects, yes. I mean, it's got a little Final Destination to it. There's definitely some of that. And the ultimate resolution probably isn't as cool as it could have been, or as intricate as it could have been, but still some interesting stuff. I mean, it's a low-budget independent thriller with a cool idea. I recommend you check it out if you're looking for like a rental on the weekend. I think it's worth it. If $10 full price of admission, I give it about $5.50, only because I would never watch it again. But I do think it's worth a rental. So, I mean, check it out. Tell Me How I Die. All right, that's going to do for this episode. I do want to mention real quick, Dylan Wass, you wrote in an email about our Ghostbuster discussion last week. I just wanted to say, dudes, not all Muslims are burqa-enforcing fascists. Good podcast, though. I thought that was a great. You took the time to let us know. I really do appreciate that. Alexander Wass, we got your email. We're going to save that for next week when we're back to movies. Please leave us a review on iTunes if you get a chance. Join our Facebook group. There's a page and a group. Page is where we just put random news items. The group is where everybody's talking to each other. That's the Hollywood Outsider on Facebook. We're also on Twitter at @H_Outsider. We're going to find other episodes, reviews, and other info for this episode or anything else at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Emails, feedback at thehollywoodoutsider.com or your podcast app, tab, contact tab in your app. Remember to grab The Hoe on the Go with our Apple or Android app, Spotify, or subscribe in your podcast app of choice. Scott, thank you for being here, sir.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me, as always.
John, thanks for filling in last minute. Really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been another highlight episode for me, and I really hope that I was able to make this fun for you guys, too.
Oh, absolutely, man.
I mean,
you did great.
You're still here, so it went okay. Yeah.
You were invited back.
Yeah, you were invited back. You know.
Let's see if it happens again.
Yeah, don't get too cocky. All right, and Troy, thanks for being here. I talked to you way too much, but thank you for being here.
Absolutely, and I'll send you my spreadsheet to put in the show notes.
Please do, because I'm not going to do it. I'm never going to do that kind of work. Never going to do that kind of work. I promise you guys, outtakes will come back in the next episode, but right now, it's already 2.5 hours or close to it by the time you hear this. You don't need to hear more of us. Just know that we really appreciate you. And remember, the next time that you sit your ass in front of your TV, buy popcorn. Because that's where I eat popcorn now, is in front of my TV.
That's right. I go to the movie when you have a kick-ass system at home.
Watching Psych.